KNIC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Sunny skies, 39 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Taco Bell. A 17-year-old who last week was sentenced to 12 years probation has now had an additional condition added to her sentence. Jefferson County District Judge Thomas Woodford now has told Mallory Leak that she's not allowed to drive for 12 years. Last week, the judge told Leak that in addition to the 12 years probation, she couldn't leave the Metro Denver area for 6 years, that she must serve 700 hours of community service, has a 5 p.m. curfew, and isn't allowed to attend any events at Chatfield High School for 2 years. Leak was driving last February when she crashed, killing three of her friends and injuring eight other people. Flu cases in Colorado continue to decline, with only 101 cases recorded in the week that ended this past Saturday. That total is less than half the number of cases from the previous week. By comparison, a month ago, the weekly caseload in Colorado was more than 1,500 cases. There have been 12,152 confirmed cases of the flu in Colorado this season. That's nearly five times as many as the previous season. An 11-car pileup last night on I-225 at Parker Road caused big delays and hospitalized 10 people. The crash happened last night at about 8 o'clock and at one point had blocked all the lanes of the freeway. It does appear that none of the injuries were serious in that crash. The Season's Givings gift shop in Littleton, where a woman was murdered over the weekend, won't reopen once the murder investigation is complete. 46-year-old Rhonda Holland, who co-managed the store with her mother, was found dead in the shop on Sunday, having suffered stab wounds to her neck. The murderer hasn't been caught, but police suspect robbery as the motive for the killing. Stephen Shriver, who police call a person of interest, is in custody and has been questioned regarding the case. So far, police aren't calling him a suspect. He's being held on some unrelated charges. He was arrested at a nearby motel where police found Holland's car, which had been stolen. Right now, owners of dogs that attack another animal or a human can't be held responsible if that dog doesn't have a record of a previous bite. Many people have been injured by dogs with no previous record. A new bill, if passed, would make it a one-strike-you're-out law for those dogs. Pit bull terriers are the main focus of the bill since they do figure in a large percentage of reported attacks. Pit bulls have been banned in Denver, Louisville, Castle Rock, and Fort Lupton. Three pit bulls killed a woman last month in Elbert County and injured two men. President Bush says the economy is trending upward, but some sectors continue to suffer, particularly the manufacturing industry. Bush touted job training programs at a community college in Toledo, Ohio today, especially in the growing area of Homeland Security.
People for the Homeland Security Department, local police, local firefighters, or the brave men and women who wear our uniform, all of whom understand the solemn obligation to protect the people. We will never forget the lessons of September the 11th.
Bush also urged Congress to pass an energy bill and medical liability reform now. Bush argued that, quote, junk and frivolous lawsuits are driving up the costs of health care. Presidents traditionally hit the road to promote their political agendas the day after the annual State of the Union address. Ohio will likely be a key battleground state in this year's presidential election. Mixed reviews are coming in about Bush's speech last night. Republican House Speaker Dennis Hastert called it a very strong speech, and he praised President Bush for noting the value of marriage. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist described Bush's leadership as bold and decisive. Meanwhile, many Democrats brushed off the speech as nothing more than a kickoff to his reelection bid. New Mexico Democratic Governor Bill Richardson spoke in Spanish to Hispanic voters, saying the Bush administration has resulted in lost jobs, lower wages, and an enormous debt. Latest poll numbers coming out of New Hampshire show two of the Democratic presidential contenders in a virtual dead heat. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean leads the poll with 25%. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry nipping at his heels at 23%. Retired General Wesley Clark is in third place with 16. Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman, North Carolina Senator John Edwards tied for fourth place. Residents of the Granite State will go to the polls in the primary there next Tuesday. Stocks are mixed at this hour. The Dow is up more than 72 points. The Nasdaq, though, down nearly 11. The S&P 500 is up just over 3 points. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche continue their four-game road trip tonight as they take on the Florida Panthers. It's the first time this season the Avs and Panthers have played. Avs are tied right now for first place in the NHL in points. Denver Nuggets come back home tonight to play the Phoenix Suns. Nuggets beat the Utah Jazz last night in Utah, 96-75. Nuggets beat the Suns about a week ago, too. For a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations, savor the three real cheeses you'll find in the new cheesy bean and rice burrito. It's tasty and filling. When you want quality, think outside the bun. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Work for someone you love. You. Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The dynamic training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Denver police cleaning up a minor accident northbound on I-25, one of the exit ramps there to Alameda Avenue, so it shouldn't cause any problem for the freeway itself. Freeway traffic, by and large, very, very quiet this lunch hour. That's quite a comparison from what we had yesterday and last night. One off-freeway problem to talk about, it's a traffic light malfunction at 6th and Monaco in East Denver, and state law says you have to treat that intersection as a four-way stop. At John Elway Showrooms, you get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. There are no worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Gonna start out a little foggy. Some patchy fog out there this morning, then turning mostly sunny. High of 45, clear and 18 for tonight. Tomorrow, just like today, sunshine and 45. Few degrees warmer for Friday, mostly sunny and 53. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under sunny skies, it's 40 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, America. It's the Enid Goldstein Show, but it's not Enid Goldstein. It's Jerome Davis sitting in for Enid Goldstein on a sunny Wednesday afternoon, just about 8 minutes after 12 noon here in downtown Denver. Good afternoon. Enid Goldstein is in Venice, and, I hope she's having fun. I like California just like everybody else. I hear they have a real nice beach in Venice also. Isn't that where they have the Muscle Beach and all that kind of stuff? So Enid is in Venice, and we hope she's having fun. She will be back, I believe, next week to Venice, Italy? Yeah, okay. Well, she's in Venice, and she'll be back next week. I'm glad to be here, Jerome Davis. In case you hadn't heard, the terror alert has been raised to Chartreuse because it looks better that way. Chartreuse means that there's probably a terrorist under your bed right now, so you may want to be aware of that. Anybody listen to the State of the Union last night? Nice performance by the president. I didn't hear all the speech. I heard the part about the where he kind of alluded to gay marriage and that sort of thing. It'd be nice to hear your feelings about gay marriage, if in fact you have one. Gay marriage. Even the term itself is kind of ambiguous. 303-382-1150. Later this afternoon, speaking of gay marriages, we will have a guest who has thought long and hard about that subject and many other subjects where religion is involved. The Reverend Tom Pettigo will be joining us via telephone from Colorado Springs. Reverend Pettigo has formed an organization, the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. He'll be here to, he won't be here, he'll be on the phone talking to us about what he perceives as a rising wave of anti-Christian discrimination here in the United States. He'll be talking to us at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And if you'd like to talk to the Reverend, make sure you're listening then. The Reverend Thomas Pettigo, he is the founder and head honcho over at the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. Other things, with regard to President Bush, we were talking about the State of the Union address a little bit earlier. I was here Monday with Dominic Brasha and Bill Thorpe, along with Alvertus Simmons and Brother Jeff, a couple of community activists here in Denver. And we were talking about the legacy and memory of Dr. Martin Luther King. One of the things Bush did last week, just to kind of let you know where he's coming from, in case you missed it, because the guy's slick, the guy's quick, and you got to watch him all the time, or, you know, things will get by you. Or maybe, you know, maybe you noticed it and just didn't see it, if you know what I mean. You know, one day he goes uninvited to the King Memorial to, you know, pay homage to Dr. King or whatever he did there, you know, just to create the illusion that he's on the right side, if you will. So he goes uninvited to the King ceremony in Atlanta, where he is vehemently protested, in case you didn't know, in case that missed you, if you were paying too much attention to mainstream media. You may have missed the fact that the president was protested heavily by several hundred demonstrators during his visit to Atlanta. And he goes to Atlanta, he does his thing down there, and then what does he do the next day? He appoints Charles Pickering to the appeals court. Yeah, Charles Pickering of the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, one of the main organizations responsible, at least in Mississippi, for a lot of the turmoil and pure hell that was raised down there during the 60s, during the late 50s and 60s. So, you know, Bush, he sends his messages that way, kind of like what he did last year. You remember last year he was, you know, giving all the platitudes and all the accolades to Dr. King on his birthday. And then the next day after the birthday, he announces that the White House will still pursue its litigation with regard to affirmative action at the University of Michigan. So that's how Bush operates. You know, he got a piece of candy in one hand and a big stick in the other, and he wields both of them with authority, shall we say. But, you know, don't get fooled by him. You know, you got to watch him carefully. 303-382-1150. A lot of talk about polls in the news lately. Everybody's got their poll to prove, you know, whatever it is they're trying to prove. First of all, I'm of the opinion, you know, I'm not trying to sway you either way. I'm not trying to convince you of the rightness of my ways. You know, I'm just hoping that maybe through all this we can, you know, incite some measure of independent thought. And, you know, however you fall, one way or the other, left, right, conservative, liberal, whatever you want to label it, that is your business. I'm not here to convince you of anything. As a matter of fact, I'm here to learn from you, and that's why I hope that you'll give me a call at 303-382-1150. A lot of people have been talking about polls this week. One of these statistics that I've heard a lot is that the attacks against Americans have decreased since the capture of Saddam Hussein, which is, statistically speaking, true. But the other side of that is, while the attacks have decreased, fatalities have increased. So, interpret that as you will. Attacks, yeah, they've decreased, but that hasn't decreased the number of deaths by American troops over in Iraq. Anyway, CBS took a poll last week, right after Paul O'Neill made his statements, right before the State of the Union address, and the poll that CBS News took says that President Bush may be doing a bit of worrying. He doesn't have a lot to worry about. Let's face it, you know, if the election were held tomorrow, he'd win handily, wouldn't he? At least that's my opinion. I'm sure many Americans feel the same way. If the election were held tomorrow, President Bush would probably win in a landslide. But CBS News says that his job approval ratings may be in jeopardy. I'm wondering, does the fact that you disapprove of how a person is performing their job, does that mean that that person won't have that job in the future? I'm not sure. All this talk about, you know, job rating approval or disapproval, I'm not sure if that translates into the fact that I'm not going to vote for you the next time you run. 303-382-1150. We'll get back to those polls in just a moment. We've got Jim. He's in Golden, and Jim wants to talk about how the media covers President Bush.
Hi, how you doing today?
Not bad, Jim.
Good. Well, what I wanted to do is just take exception a little bit to what you were saying.
Okay.
And I guess, I suppose my argument has more to do with the media. In this case, it would probably be yourself,
mm-hmm,
who's presenting an argument.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, you stated that President Bush was not invited.
Exactly.
Now, you realize there's a controversy over if he was invited or not, right?
I don't see what the controversy is. The King's Center explicitly states that no invitation was extended to President Bush.
You realize that King's widow invited him?
No, she Coretta did not invite Dr.
King. Well, okay, so we would dispute those facts,
exactly.
Right?
What is the source of your statement that says she did invite him?
I read it in a newspaper, and I also heard it on the news. Now, what? Now there was a controversy. I remember when it came up, and then the opposing argument said, "Oh no! In fact, that she did send out an invitation to Bush, and he did accept it." Mm-hmm. But the center said that they weren't totally aligned with that decision, and yada yada yada.
This was
a discussion I saw on several of the news channels.
Okay.
So my first contention is that you weren't aware of that, so you presented it such that he just barged in.
Well, my
that helped your point of view.
No.
Excuse me, I'd like to make one other statement, too.
Well, let me dispute the statement that you previously made.
Okay.
My information comes from the King's Center. And
I understand, and the King's Center representative on the news show said, we didn't extend the invitation. However, the widow, Coretta King, indeed gave him an invitation, and that's what the...
Jim, you are breaking up so terribly that you're going to have to call us back. I'm sorry, Jim. Can't hear you. 303-382-1150. Let's see if we've got a better connection with Dan. He's in Littleton. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, sir. Hey, my real problem, I think Martin Luther King was an American for all of us.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the black man was getting stepped on at that time. I still think he is.
Mm-hmm.
My real concern is... Right now, I see a lot. The black players in professional sports have a real voice.
Okay.
What if they would boycott Cincinnati and say, because a black man is not safe to walk the streets or safe to be arrested in Cincinnati, we're not going to play any football or basketball games there?
Oh, that would be very effective because they actually use that technique in order to get Arizona to approve Dr. King's birthday as a holiday. Yeah.
What about Florida when they took the black? When they took the black man's vote away, I mean, you know, I have relatives from the South, and they laugh and they say, "We've always taken the black man's vote away."
Yeah,
always.
I know.
Yeah, why do you make a big deal out of it? We're going to do it again, and Jeb Bush is laughing at us.
Well, I've got a theory actually about that, Dan. Let me tell you. You know, they've got us all looking in Florida with regard to the 2000 presidential election, and it's true, some shenanigans did happen down there. But I'm of the opinion, why couldn't Al Gore win his own state? You know, why didn't Gore do better in the South, and why didn't he win particularly Tennessee and Arkansas, either of which would have made the Florida question moot?
Well, here's
my answer to that. Southern white men are not going to vote for a Jew. Lieberman.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Well, not only that, Southern white men... They're honest to God brainwashed. I mean, you look at the following Rush Limbaugh and President Bush have. They're brainwashed. They follow their pastors. I don't care.
Oh, man.
and that's what they do. And they've got this whole religious thing that they're going to follow. You know, and the saddest part about it is, honest to God, out of everybody I was down south, the true, real Christians, the real ones, was the old black man that was stepped on and still would love a white guy. Because I'll tell you what, as an Irishman.
That's Christian love, yeah.
As an Irishman, we gave that up. 400 years ago with the Englishman. But now I want to wrap my arms around you and say, you guys do know the way, but honestly, I wish that if professional sports players would say, okay, Jeb Bush, you tricked us, ha, 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 you pulled a bunch of old people, but we ain't going to play football. The whole world would say, wait a minute, now get that election fixed. I want to watch my football game. I don't care who's president.
Right.
I do care. I want to watch Super Bowl.
Yeah, Dan, I think that would be effective.
Oh, and like you say, it's the only black man that can afford it. A professional athlete can afford to take a day off.
Thanks for the call, Dan.
Okay, you too, buddy.
All right. 303-382-1150. I think Jim has reconnected with us. You there, Jim?
Yeah, I'm back. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, let's assume that President Bush was invited by Coretta King.
Right.
All right.
So the only, and I agree there's a little bit of a controversy.
Okay.
And I'm going to go back to what I was originally trying to say here.
Okay.
And that is that I think the media does bias and it doesn't do this or that. And I'm using your presentation as an example, and I may be on a boat line on this. But the other thing you said was, you gave the impression that this is stuff that court on.
Jim.
Well, you know what? It was on the news. It was on all the main news.
Now, Jim, what I'm saying is you are breaking up so terrible, we can't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now? I'll stop.
Okay, now I got you. We got you. Okay, we didn't hear what you said previously to Can You Hear Me Now?
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me now?
What I thought was
that you made the point that the mainstream media avoided this topic.
Right.
Kind of slipped by.
Yeah.
And there's this leads one to think, there's a conspiracy, but we're not getting on the... And you presented it that way, but yet... When that story broke about the protests and everything, it was on all the main news. I saw it on, it was on every nightly news show. So why would you make that point when, in fact, that's not what happened?
Well, maybe I should have been more specific. You know, what I should have said something was, you didn't see this covered very heavily. You know, it was good for maybe half a day.
No, but, it was good for the first day, and the next day I saw the talking heads talk about it. It was an issue for there, so
maybe
it wanted to be an issue for a week. What's the point?
Well, maybe I'm wishing it would be covered as heavily as, let's say, Michael Jackson or Scott Peterson or Martha Stewart.
You and I are in absolute agreement with that. In fact, I have a theory. I would just as soon as have a celebrity news channel. We can put all that crap on one channel, and then just take it, and then all the other news channels can make a pledge, and this is happening tomorrow, we will no longer cover the thing.
Well, isn't that...
Actually, you and I know that the reason why I have to is not their fault.
Isn't that what CNN stands for, Celebrity News Network?
Whatever. They're all bad. You know why they do it? Because people want to watch it.
Okay. All right, Jim, we heard that last part, but you're breaking up so heavily, Jim, that we got to let you go.
I'll call back.
Please do. Thank you very much. 303-382-1150. This is AM 1150. KNRC.
Warning. Listening to AM 1150 KNRC can be addictive, but never hazardous to your health. Tell your friends about Denver's most compelling radio talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax software this year.
Yeah, and it's so easy. TurboTax asks simple questions like an accountant would, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Mm-hmm. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Wow. What about deductions?
Oh, it found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on a sofa?
Hmm?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Available at a retailer near you. See box for guaranteed details.
I'm no professional photographer, but Walgreens' new digital photo center sure makes me feel like I am. With just the touch of a screen, I can choose and edit the photos I want. I can crop them, remove red eye, and when I'm ready to print, I can also choose the size and quantity. So in almost no time, I'm walking out with premium prints at a price that's anything but premium. Just 29 cents for each 4x6. Walgreens' new digital photo center, where America takes its digital pictures.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Don't miss the Colorado Symphony Orchestra's performance of Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2, Wagner's Overture to the Flying Dutchman, Barber's Adagio for Strings, and more on January 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. This is a coordinated test of the emergency alert system by broadcast stations and cable systems in your area. If this had been an actual emergency, an official message would have followed the alert tone. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Some people prefer the right wing. Others prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Our diverse lineup of talk show hosts features more viewpoints and perspectives than any other Denver talk station. Join Greg Dobbs from 6 to 10 a.m. Bill O'Reilly from 10 till noon. Enid Goldstein from noon to 3. Doug Kellett from 3 to 6. Dominic and Bill from 6 to 9 p.m. Lionel from 9 to midnight, followed by Alan Combs. Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Enid Goldstein is in Venice lifting weights on the beach. Jerome Davis here. Glad to be here at about 25 minutes after 12 noon on a Wednesday afternoon here at AM 1150 KNRC. We have Jack in Denver on the phone. Jack, you still with us?
Hey, Jerome, it's good to hear your voice.
Good to be heard, Jack.
Hey, listen, the Village Voice has an interesting article about Bush's State of the Union address, and here's the title. Get this.
All right.
With Christ's approval, Bush calls for abstinence, defends the empire, and rallies the rich.
Oh, that's lovely. Village
that's
Voice.
Right on target.
Yeah. With Christ's approval.
With Christ's approval, of course.
Yeah, well, we know he wouldn't make a move without it.
Hey, yeah. Jerome, listen, your previous caller there was trying to talk about how the so-called liberal stations covered this Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
I want to talk about how the conservative stations, specifically Clear Channel stations, one in particular which has a guy on in the evening, was covering this when Bush went to the Martin Luther King tomb.
Right.
And he was saying that this was a lack of respect for Martin Luther King, these protesters. Now, nowhere in this guy's 2 or 3 hour evening show over on the blowtorch, which I actually think is more like a cigarette lighter, nowhere did he talk about the fact that Bush was going to a fundraiser right after that, and because it was an official visit,
he
could go to the fundraiser and charge his visit to the taxpayers.
Let's face it, that's the real reason he was in Atlanta on that day. I mean, it just happened to be King's birthday, and they thought they could tie that in, you know, Rove and the guys at the White House.
Right. Now, this propaganda artist on Clear Channel did not even mention that, number one.
Right.
Number two, he didn't even mention the fact that King would have been opposed to the war in Iraq, and King, had he lived, might very well have been protesting Bush's appearance wherever he went.
Exactly. Martin Luther King would definitely, no one can argue the point that Martin Luther King would have supported our action in Iraq.
Right. I mean, it's just absurd to think that somehow Martin Luther King would have supported this unilateral intervention against the United Nations and against our main allies.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, this idea of this being a form of disrespecting King's legacy, you know, and disrespecting the president. A president needs to earn respect.
Exactly.
He doesn't get respect automatically.
Exactly.
And the people who were protesting against him in Atlanta don't feel that he had earned their respect.
While the office of the presidency may have the respect, the president himself has to earn it.
So that's it.
All right, Jack.
Right on, brother.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you.
303-382-1150. That's the phone number. We had been talking about President Bush's recent trip down to Atlanta to allegedly, presumably, commemorate the life of Martin Luther King. But let's face it, we know why he was really there. It was a fundraiser in Atlanta. He got, what, about $2.5 million for a few minutes' work that night. That's why he was really there. And to say that any type of protest is, you know, denigrates the legacy of Dr. King, please. Dr. King was all about protest. You know, the man's life was dedicated to protesting wrongs. Anybody who says that protest denigrates the memory of Dr. King, they just don't know what they're talking about. 303-382-1150. If you want to talk to us here at AM 1150 KNRC, you've been hearing a lot of talk about polls in the past week. We approve this, we disapprove that, we like his job, we don't like his job. One fact that hasn't been brought out enough, while attacks may have been decreasing in Iraq, fatalities are on the increase. That's right. Maybe they're getting better at it. Also a question I'd like to ask you before the 1 o'clock hour, because at 1 o'clock we will have, via telephone as our guest, the Reverend Tom Pettigo. Tom is the head of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. He's going to talk about what he feels is a wave of anti-Christian discrimination sweeping over America. And we'll see what he has to say about that when he joins us right after the 1 o'clock hour. 303-382-1150. Lisa has been waiting patiently out in Littleton. You still there, Lisa?
Yes, I am.
Howdy.
Hi, I just wanted to talk to you about the appointment of Judge Pickering.
Right, Charles Pickering appointed to the appeals court. I forget which one. I think it's the fifth. Okay.
And I've heard that the NAACP in Mississippi are for this man.
Actually, the NAACP in Mississippi has endorsed him. He has also received endorsement from the brother of the late Medgar Evers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering why you thought that was kind of, why you were saying that President Bush was kind of backstabbing, you know, after he went to that.
All right. All right. Let me tell you something. When it comes to black people endorsing people who don't have the interests of black people at heart, you know, I'm not going to use the term that Harry Belafonte used with regard to Colin Powell. I'm not going to use that term. But first, we need to get away from this color thing.
Right.
Just because, you know, they've, you know, was able to scoop up some Negroes to support this judge who was, you know, part of the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission. We shouldn't be surprised at this. I mean, ever since black people came to this country, there has been no shortage of finding black people who want to help their oppressor. And with regard to the NAACP and the endorsement of the brother of the late Medgar Evers endorsing Mr. Judge Pickering, this is just more of that. I'm not going to use the term that Harry Belafonte used with regard to Colin Powell. But this is just more of that. We need to get away from this color thing. There are thousands, well, maybe not thousands, but there are dozens, perhaps hundreds, of other white judges who would do a much better job, in my opinion, than Judge Pickering, and who don't have his type of baggage either.
Well, all right. Thank you very much.
All right, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
303-382-1150, that's the number to call. You know, all this black-white stuff, you know, it's all well and good, but, you know. Judge Pickering was part of the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission. For those of you who don't know, way back in 1954 with the Brown versus Board of Education decision, when Supreme Court judges decided, we're going to let black kids and white kids sit in the same classroom if we can, you know, if we can get to that point. It's okay that they sit in the same classroom. A lot of Southerners, a lot of white Southerners consider that day Black Monday, if you will. Anyway, it was from that the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission was formed. And basically, they were formed to thwart any type of initiative or anything that would mainly promote voting efforts by black people in Mississippi in particular and in the South in general. Anyway, there was no shortage of black spies working for the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission. Oh, yeah, they had spies at black colleges. They had spies in the NAACP. They had spies in black churches. There was no shortage of black people spying on other black people, you know, to continue their oppression. Now, why would they do this? In many instances, the reasons would be economical. If you want to keep your job, boy, I want you to tell me who comes to that church meeting on Tuesday night, you know, that kind of thing. Black college professors at black colleges, I know Rust College in particular, and Jackson State also, two black colleges in Mississippi, I know for a fact that the white power structure had informants among the black college professors on those two campuses in particular, and spread out in other places in Mississippi. So, you know, you can bring up the argument, well, you know, it was black people telling on black people. That's, you know, that's part of American history. Nothing new. That's been happening from day one. And, you know, there's no shortage of Negroes out there is basically what I'm trying to say. 303-382-1150. The question that I wanted to ask before we got to the 1 o'clock hour when the Reverend Tom Pettigo from the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination will be joining us, the question I want to ask you is, do you think the U.S. government really wants free elections in Iraq by June? I've been reading some things that has been making me question that. One of the things that I read came from The Guardian. The Guardian, the British publication, you know, the Brits are allies, Tony Blair, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, The Guardian, Jonathan Steele, a staffer on The Guardian, writes that the occupation of Iraq continues to get worse for George Bush and Tony Blair. Well, you know, one or the other. The deaths of at least 20 people in a suicide bomb attack outside the coalition headquarters in Baghdad last week underlines the spiraling unrest in Iraq. The toll of U.S. casualties since Saddam Hussein's capture is higher than in the same period before it. Angry protests over unemployment and petrol shortages have erupted in several cities in southern Iraq. That's the part of Iraq that's under British control. Above all, Washington's plans for handing power to an unelected group of Iraqis is being strongly challenged by Iraqis' majority Shia community and Iraqis in general. I'm wondering, does Washington really want free elections in Iraq? Do they want them as quickly as June? You tell me. 303-382-1150. This is AM 1150 KNRC. And now, for the KNRC Newsroom, here is Tim McLaughlin.
Thanks, Jerome. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Not bad. Go ahead, Tim.
All right. It's sunny, 41 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report is brought to you by Albertsons. People living near Buckley Air Force Base may hear sirens, explosions, and see some smoke, but don't be alarmed. There's a training exercise going on at Buckley for the next week. A proposal being submitted to the Colorado legislature today would create a one-strike-you're-out law for vicious dogs, as the law stands now. Owners of dogs that attack another animal or a person can't be held responsible if the dog doesn't have a record of a previous bite. A woman driver who allegedly broke the window of another car and hit the driver in the face in a road rage incident in October has been ordered to stand trial. The woman also reportedly rammed the other car. Her arraignment is set for next month. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche continue their road trip tonight as they play the Florida Panthers. It's the first time this season the Avs and Panthers have met. Denver Nuggets come home tonight fresh from their win over the Utah Jazz last night. Nuggets play the Phoenix Suns tonight at the Pepsi Center. The savings will really add up at Albertsons Buy One, Get Two free sale this week. With the in-store coupon, you can save up to $103.58 in free groceries. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:36.
Got a cold symptom? Take Airborne Natural Cold Remedy. Airborne was created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Find Airborne at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and CVS.
KNRC News Time is 12:36. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Pretty quiet drive around town this lunch hour. Nothing bothering traffic on the freeways. Maximum freeway speeds, good driving conditions, dry roads as well. Quite a change from what we had to put up with yesterday at this time. One surface street problem to talk about. Minor collision, 24th and Broadway downtown. Denver police on the scene taking care of that. Hurry into Pep Boys, where an Express Pro-Line oil change is just $11.88. That's right, $11.88, and it's done in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. See the store for details. Pep Boys, they are car people. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. After a little patchy fog this morning, we'll move through the entire afternoon and into this evening with mainly clear skies. And we're going to have a nice seasonal run at temperatures. We'll top out today around 45 for the high, 18 for the overnight low tonight, back in the mid-40s tomorrow. And it'll be even milder on Friday with sunshine and a high of 53 to 57. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lots of sunshine now, 41 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:37. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the Buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the Buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC Market Watch.
After the Olympics this summer, the U.S. Olympic Committee will lace up a new pair of sneakers. Advertising Age magazine reporting Nike will sign on as a sponsor of the committee starting next year. The new deal will replace the USOC's current partnership with Adidas. Right now, Nike stock is up more than a half dollar to a new 52-week high. You may look good on a Harley, but Harley stock is taking a bit of a dip today. Harley-Davidson reporting its strongest fourth quarter ever today. Profit rising 21%, revenue jumping 13%. But many traders are paying more attention to the fact that Harley sold fewer bikes last quarter than the fourth quarter 2002. Right now, the stock is down a dime. Our best numbers of the day on Wall Street this hour. The Dow is now up 92 points. S&P 500 gaining more than 8. The Nasdaq trimming its losses. It is down only 1 point now. Advancing stocks extending their lead over decliners on the big board. Now ahead by more than 3-2. I'm Andrew O'Day from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
Just about 20 minutes before 1 o'clock, shortly after the 1 o'clock hour here on the Enid Goldstein program. Enid is not here. I guess you could assume that on your own. Enid is in Venice. She's on the beach lifting weights and having a good time, and she'll be back next week. At 1 o'clock, shortly after the 1 o'clock hour, the Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. He will be joining us via the telephone, and he will be talking about what he perceives as a rise of anti-Christian discrimination in the United States. He'll be talking to us shortly after the 1 o'clock hour here at AM 1150 KNRC. Shortly before the break, we had brought up the subject of, is the administration, the Bush administration, is it truly ready for free elections in Iraq? We know they don't want them to happen anytime soon, like tomorrow or next week or even next month. Let's say June. That's when they're calling for those elections to happen, I do believe. Do you think they really want free elections in Iraq? All this talk about bringing democracy to Iraq. Do we really want one man, one vote in Iraq? I'm not so sure. And according to this article in the Guardian UK, the Guardian Unlimited, written by Mr. Jonathan Steele, you may not be ready for free elections in Iraq either. The column goes on to say that with casualties stubbornly continuing to remain high, the United States is now banking on its project for transferring power to Iraqis this summer. All that's well and good. The United States is proposing that notables in each province attend what they're calling caucuses. That's right, just like what they do in Iowa, evidently. Caucuses in Iraq. See, they're a step closer toward democracy. Caucuses in Iraq, which will appoint an assembly which would then select a government. Not surprisingly, the Shia leadership in Iraq smells a rat. After generations of being excluded from power, first by the British occupiers in 1920, then by successive Sunni governments, including the one that was led by Saddam Hussein, the Shias are not trusting anybody. The spiritual head of the Shias, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, has repeatedly denounced the plan for free elections. He wants direct elections. Excuse me, he's denouncing the U.S. plan for free elections. Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani wants direct elections in Iraq. His fear is that the U.S. will control the selection of a government because it thinks the wrong people will win, in particular, the Shias. Washington is also worried that Sunni fundamentalists and even some leftover people from the Ba'ath regime might do well were there free elections in Iraq. The other new element in the United States plan was that power would be transferred to the new government at the end of June. So they actually are trying to bring about free elections in Iraq before June. If this were to happen, this would allow Bush to claim mission accomplished. Barely a year after the invasion, the Iraqis would have a legitimate government at last. It would invite U.S. troops to stay, but these could gradually be reduced in number or pulled back to bases in Iraq, as well as new Iraqi security forces were built up. So they want a government, the U.S. wants a government, that's going to allow U.S. troops to stay in Iraq. However, one man, one vote may not bring that about. In other words, the majority of Iraqi people would probably vote for U.S. forces to leave the country, were free elections to be held in Iraq. So I'm asking you, audience, Do we really, does the Bush administration, are they really ready for free elections in Iraq? 303-382-1150. We'd also been talking about polls and the many polls that have been brought up during the past week. His approval rating is up, his disapproval rating is down, this, that, and the other. I guess the only polls that really matter is the one that's going to be taken in November of this year. I've said it before, polls, you know, you really can't, maybe you can learn a little something from polls, but they really don't tell you anything. I mean, they definitely don't tell you if the people who respond to the poll are on the right track, more or less. I mean, if you had conducted a poll in America, let's say in 1859, you know, should the Southerners be left alone with regard to slavery? I'm sure the majority of respondents to that poll in 1859 would have probably said yes. So, I mean, you know, you got your polls, and what do they really mean? They are so open to interpretation and so subjective. 303-382-1150, that's the number to call. That's not subjective. That's the number to call where we hear concretely and succinctly what it is you have to say. 303-382-1150 here at AM 1150 KNRC. Jerome Davis sitting in for Enid Goldstein. 1 o'clock this afternoon, we will have a guest. It's the Reverend Thomas Pettigo. He is the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. 303-382-1150. Out in Louisville, Steve has been waiting very patiently. Steve, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Howdy.
Thank you. You mentioned Harry Belafonte's description of Powell.
Yes.
And I was wondering, do you agree with that description, or what were you trying to do, distance yourself from it, or what? I didn't quite get the idea of what you're trying to say.
Well, first of all, I was using Belafonte's quote about Powell in relation to another caller's comment with regard to the selection of Charles Pickering for the appeals court. She had brought up the fact that the NAACP of Mississippi and the brother of the late Medgar Evers had endorsed Judge Pickering for the position. And
right.
I guess she was, like, you know, in her way alluding to the fact that here are these black people who support Judge Pickering, so, you know, you can't say that blacks were against his nomination. I was saying, woman,
go ahead.
Okay. I was saying that there is never any shortage of black people who will support positions that will lead to that will further their own oppression. And in that relation, you know, I brought up the Harry Belafonte comment with regard to Colin Powell.
Okay, well, that's not really answering my question. How do you feel about that comment that Belafonte made about Powell? Do you feel that they're justified?
Well, I feel that Belafonte's comments are justified by the fact that we have free speech in this country. Do I agree with Harry Belafonte's comments? No, I don't agree with him. I think Colin Powell is his own person. You know, I wouldn't characterize Colin Person as a house Negro, as Harry Belafonte did, but I do understand where he's coming from and why he would make those comments.
Well, you also use the description Negro, I think, to describe people of a political view.
Yes.
Black people.
Uh-huh.
So is that what you're saying, that if you have, for instance, a conservative view, or that if a person would, a black person would support Powell or Condoleezza Rice or somebody else in the administration, that they're Negroes versus African Americans,
okay,
or blacks would not do that? Are you,
okay,
trying to separate them by using Negro as pejorative?
Okay, first of all, I wish more people, black, white, or Negro, would have supported Colin Powell's position. If they had, I don't think we would be in war in Iraq right now. So there's that. The term Negro in the black community, first of all, the word nigger has been bandied about so much that it is no longer a term of derision within the black community. As a matter of fact, it's actually a term of endearment. And conversely, the term Negro is now a term of derision within the black community. So when I use the term Negro, I'm actually deriding the people that I'm using that term in context with. To be a Negro actually would connotate that you do not have the interests of black people at heart. Now, whether you want to label this conservative or liberal, that's something else altogether.
So what you're saying then is that you'll use the pejorative mm-hmm. against people who don't agree with your political viewpoints.
I would say any.
What would be in the interest of black okay. Americans?
I would say any black person that supports Judge Pickering is a Negro.
Okay, mm-hmm. That
sum it up for
that
you?
That explains to me just where you're coming from now.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. 303-382-1150. It's a lovely Wednesday afternoon here in downtown Denver, and we're waiting to hear from you. 303-382-1150. This is AM 1150. KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio. AM 1150, KNRC.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leechdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcaro.com.
When I get one of my headaches, every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil Liquid Gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil Relief is stronger, better relief too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil Relief.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Bill Thorpe. The Imagination Makers Theater Company's professional adult actors present a performance of Another Point of View, Saturday, February 7th at 2 p.m. at the Boulder Public Library at 11th and Canyon Streets in Boulder. Another Point of View is a play written by high school students and is suitable for ages 12 to 18. Admission is free and a pizza party will follow the performance. For more information, call 303-441-3196.
Start the new year by eating and feeling good at Subway. Try Subway's new Atkins-friendly carb-controlled wraps. Savor the flavor of the turkey bacon melt or chicken bacon ranch. Atkins-friendly wraps, now at Subway.
John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, is adapted from Stephen Vincent Benet's Civil War epic. This Pulitzer Prize-winning drama features a cast of 20 actors playing 283 roles on both sides of the conflict, capturing the heroes, villains, cruelty, and courage of the bloodiest war in American history. And you can see this richly textured and masterful story for free just by listening to KNRC this Friday, January 23rd from noon to 3 p.m., when we'll be giving away tickets to John Brown's Body, another great reason to listen to AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Ian Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Just about 7 minutes before 1 o'clock, Dave has been waiting patiently. He decided to call us at 303-382-1150. Dave in Denver, how you doing?
Yeah, hi. You keep talking about Judge Pickering, and I'm not quite sure why you have so much disdain for him.
Well, one of the reasons would be the work that the judge did for the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission back in the 60s, and I think maybe the late 50s, but definitely during the 60s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. So let me ask you a question.
All right.
If our
First of all, are you familiar with the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission?
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, see, you'd have to know. You know, they were like the official body for the state of Mississippi that conducted a lot of nefarious activities that were mainly designed to stop black people from voting.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you know if this guy has actually repented what he's done?
When you say those guys repented, who are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about Pickering. Do you know if he's repented for what he's done? Maybe he's a changed man.
Maybe he is. I haven't heard him say that he was sorry that he was a part of the commission. I haven't heard that. Maybe he did, but I haven't heard it.
Is a congressional black caucus Negroes?
No.
Because they support Robert Byrd, and Robert Byrd was a card-carrying Ku Klux Klan member.
The Congressional Black Caucus are not Negroes. There might be some Negroes on the Congressional Black Caucus. But
well, why don't they ever speak up against Byrd?
I don't know. Some have spoken out against Byrd. I know in particular Representative Rangel from New York and John Conyers from Michigan.
So as long as he's our racist, it's okay in the black community.
You got to be more.
Oust Robert Byrd for being a card-carrying member.
You got to be more specific. As long as he's our, you know,
he's a Democrat, and obviously, if you're a Democrat, you could be racist, but if you're a Republican, you certainly can't.
No, I mean,
it out.
The fact that Byrd is a member of the Ku Klux Klan to me says more about the white voters of West Virginia than the black ones.
It tells me more about the black community will overlook racism as long as it's on our side.
Actually, don't you think it's the white community that's overlooking the racism?
Absolutely not. I think whites have tried so hard in the last 50 years, mm-hmm. and blacks keep kicking it back into our face. That we're nothing but racist.
Okay.
We can't get over it. America is still racist.
Mm-hmm.
I think racism is an excuse perpetuated by blacks to account for their social ills.
Okay.
Why is it that blacks from the West Indies make more money per capita than white people? Because they don't have a chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
They come to America and they realize, yeah, there is some racism, but we can overcome that. Blacks who've been in this country for 200 years cannot do that.
Don't you think you're generalizing, Dave?
Absolutely not. I'm not generalizing. I'm a realist. Obviously, you're not.
Okay.
I don't know why white people even try anymore. George Bush, the blacks in this country could not give George Bush credit for nothing, could not give him credit for spending $18 billion on AIDS research in the West Indies and Africa.
Where have you seen any of that money? I've heard him talk the talk, but I haven't seen the check. Have you?
Absolutely. Yes, it was in the budget.
Uh-huh.
I recall that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you haven't looked it up.
It's no,
in the budget.
You're right, I haven't.
It's already been appropriated, so
okay.
It's there for the blacks. But
all
the
right.
Blacks don't care. They don't care. George Bush tries to do something nice. I don't even know why he even tried to do that.
I don't know why either. It's so hollow.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, you can't be a white person, try to do something nice that's hollow, right?
Dave, have you ever tried to do something nice for a black person?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, I have.
What?
I had a black friend that was in a wheelchair. I took care of the person.
Oh.
He was in a wheelchair.
How did he get there?
I bathed the man. I bathed him. I fed him.
Okay.
He was a black man, and he appreciated something like people like you don't.
Okay. Well, I would appreciate a bath from you, Dave.
That's real funny.
Thank you. 303-382-1150. Let's go to Gabby in socially correct terms.
Hi, Jerome.
How you doing?
I want to let you know that I had a black person over for dinner one time.
Oh, how did they taste? Just kidding.
I'm sorry to get hung up on these terms, but I got in the last part of your conversation about Negro and whatever, and so I'm confused
right.
about what's respectful and what isn't.
Well, what I was saying is, in the black community, the word nigger is actually a term of endearment, you know. And if you're familiar with any kind of rap music of today,
right.
you probably came up with that, you know.
Right.
And it's the word Negro that has been turned into a term of derision,
okay.
you know. So that's kind of what I was saying.
All right. So kind of like what's unoffensive for a white person, how should we, if we need to refer to race?
Well, how about black person?
Okay, that's fine. That's
yeah.
what I've been using, so I guess I'm fine.
Exactly. You're still good. You're still
okay.
good, Gabby. Yeah, black is still good. You
good.
Know.
I'll check it another 5 years.
You might have to call a little sooner than that. This stuff changes a bit quicker than that. But for right now, black is okay.
And I love your voice.
Well, thank
Keep
you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Gabby.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. 303-382-1150. Thank you very much, Gabby. Later on for the program, we've got two more hours left of the Enid Goldstein Extravaganza. And at 1 o'clock, or shortly after 1 o'clock, right after we do news, we will have as a guest the Reverend Tom Pettigo. Reverend Pettigo is the executive director of an organization called the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. Reverend Pettigo will be joining us via telephone, and he will talk about what he feels is a rising tide of anti-Christian discrimination here in the United States. Reverend Tom Pettigo of the NAACD, he will be our guest right after the 1 o'clock hour. You will join us, won't you?
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Sunny skies, 41 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Airborne Natural Cold Remedy. Some folks living near Buckley Air Force Base may be alarmed by what they see and hear, namely sirens, explosions, and smoke. However, they can rest easily, or they should. It's just part of a training exercise that will take place during the daytime and early evening hours each day through next Wednesday. Two children were hospitalized this morning after being exposed to dangerous levels of carbon monoxide in their Montbello house. This from Denver firefighters who say they were called to 5256 Altura Street about 4 a.m. Reportedly, somebody left a car engine running inside the garage until the vehicle ran out of gas. Firefighters claim there was a high level of carbon monoxide in the top floor of the house. No word on the condition of those kids. Shalmir Pesh has been ordered to stand trial in an alleged road rage incident that happened on I-70 in October. Pesh allegedly broke the window of another car and then hit the driver in the face. She also reportedly rammed that other car. She's charged with menacing, criminal mischief, and assault. Her arraignment is set for next month. Most of the aircraft recently grounded by the Air Force Academy are getting back into the air. The planes had been grounded because of concerns involving DOS Aviation, which maintains many of the planes at the Academy, but apparently the problems have all been addressed. Three Twin Otter aircraft will remain grounded, though, because a Twin Otter had an engine fail earlier this month on a flight to Florida. Some other aircraft at the Academy that are maintained by another company were not grounded at all. Senator John Kerry says the White House is planning to politicize national security in this year's presidential election. Kerry told a New Hampshire rally the Democrats will be ready, adding, bring it on.
George Bush has run the most arrogant, inept, reckless, and ideological foreign policy in the modern history of our nation.
The veteran Massachusetts lawmaker and presidential candidate said Democrats have, quote, a better plan for how to make America safe. As he did in Iowa, Senator Kerry has made a remarkable turnaround in public opinion polls in New Hampshire. Lagging badly just a couple of weeks ago, Kerry is now leading at least one poll among Democratic presidential candidates in the Granite State. The New Hampshire presidential primary is 6 days away. Kerry was a surprise winner in the Iowa presidential caucuses on Monday night. A day after spelling out his agenda for the next year, President Bush has embarked on a two-day campaign trip starting in Ohio. He talked in length about the economy in an appearance at a Toledo community college. The speech echoed comments during last night's State of the Union address, where Bush called for America to stay the course toward economic recovery. Bush was met by protesters as he hit the road today. At a stop at Owens Community College in Toledo, Bush trumpeted community colleges as a way to reintegrate unemployed laborers back into the workforce. This man was among the protesters outside who weren't impressed.
We'd like to see jobs here. The sign that I have here says American jobs stay in America. Since NAFTA's been passed, there's been a huge job loss in America.
Toledo has been particularly hard hit by the slack economy. Bush's visit is seen as a way to try to gain political ground in the state that voted for him in 2000. Jury selection in the trial of domestic diva Martha Stewart is continuing today in New York City. Attorneys in the case are busy narrowing 30 potential jurors down to 12 to hear that case. Stewart pleaded not guilty yesterday to charges of securities fraud and obstruction of justice, stemming from her sale of ImClone stock just before a negative government report was to be released. Prosecutors in the murder case against Robert Blake have asked a judge to prohibit the actor's lawyers from blaming or implicating anyone else in the murder of Bonnie Lee Bakley. Blake's attorneys say that prosecutors don't want any evidence of a connection with Christian Brando, the son of famed actor Marlon Brando, or a convicted armed robber who they say worked the neighborhood where Bakley was killed. At this hour, stocks are mixed. At last check, the Dow was up just over 100 points. NASDAQ down just about 3. The S&P 500 up nearly 9 points. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche have an away game tonight against the Florida Panthers. It's the first time this season that the Avs have taken on the Panthers. Avs are coming off their overtime win over the Tampa Bay Lightning on Monday night. Denver Nuggets back in action at the Pepsi Center tonight against the Phoenix Suns. Nuggets have beaten the Suns both times they've played this season. Last night, Nuggets hammered the Jazz 96-75. In Utah. In college basketball, the CU Buffs travel to Stillwater, Oklahoma tonight to play the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Meanwhile, the Air Force Falcons have a home game against the Texas A&M Corpus Christi Islanders. Got a cold symptom? Take Airborne Natural Cold Remedy. Airborne was created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Find Airborne at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and CVS. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Work for someone you love. You! Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The dynamic training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just getting a report of a stall outbound or westbound on Auraria Parkway at about 7th Street, right there by Metro State College. It looks like an armored car has broken down in the left lane there, and traffic is getting around it in pretty good shape. Apparently, he has help on the way, so it should be another 15 or 20 minutes before that's moved out of traffic. Everything else around town looking pretty good. Good freeway speeds, good traffic volume, no serious delays anywhere. Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot at Home Services. Visit your local store today for more information at the Home Depot at Home Services, installation you can trust. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to string together a series of pretty good-looking days with mostly sunny skies, clear at night, and temperatures, well, very much in the seasonal range. We'll top out around 45 today, drop to 18 for the low tonight, rise back into the mid-40s on Thursday, and on Friday it'll be even milder with a high around 55. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 43 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
7.5 minutes after 1 o'clock. It's still Wednesday, and we're still in downtown Denver, and it's still a very nice, clear, sunny day. Hope the same is true wherever you are. AM 1150 KNRC, the Enid Goldstein Program. Enid is in Venice. She's really at the one in Italy, not the one in California. I was just being silly. Enid is vacationing in Venice, Italy. She will be back next week. My name is Jerome Davis. I'll also be back next week. I'll be doing the Enid Goldstein program this coming Monday, the 26th. So I hope you can join me then. Anyway, right now at 8 minutes after 1 o'clock, we have as our guest the Reverend Tom Pettigo. Reverend Pettigo is the executive director of an organization, the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. Reverend Pettigo is an ordained minister, executive director of the NAACD. He has served in this position for over 1 year. He's been a pastor in Michigan. He pastored in Michigan for about 10 years. He also hosted a radio show in Michigan. Right to the Heart was the name of it, and he had a weekly Christian TV program. So Reverend is media savvy, to say the least. He's worked as a correspondence assistant to Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family fame in Colorado Springs. He's also had local radio programs in Colorado Springs on a couple of the stations there. And he has also served as the state director for the American Family Association for the past 5 years. Reverend Pettigo, glad to have you with us this afternoon.
Hi, Jerome. Thanks for having me today.
That's okay. This organization that we want to talk mainly about, the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination.
Right.
Describe the organization for us.
Well, it's not to be confused with the NAACP, although those initials have caused them some frustration because it's so close, NAACD. We basically, in our mission statement, want to protect and promote the Christian faith and our religious heritage mm-hmm. in America. And we have absolutely no relation to this one cultic Aryan group known as National Alliance.
Yeah, maybe I should point out to the audience, that's how the Reverend and I initially came in contact with each other. I was trying to find representatives from the National Alliance to come on the air. Mm-hmm. I had been trying to contact them for the past 2 or 3 weeks, the Colorado Springs office and the Denver office. To no avail, one time when I keyworded National Alliance into the computer, up came your organization, the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. And that's how...
When I typed those words in, I got National Alliance Against Racist Repression.
Okay.
So I guess there's a lot of NAs out there. But, you know, on the other hand, Jerome,
mm-hmm.
I'm a white male conservative Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out, there seem to be a lot of similarities with the two groups, so maybe we can talk about that. But I've done this as a hobby for about 6 years,
okay.
This organization. And I basically coordinate other groups, and when Christians contact me throughout the United States who feel they've been discriminated against mm-hmm. primarily because of their faith, I send them to Christian legal organizations that will represent them in their city or town.
Okay, basically you've been monitoring discrimination against Christians and defamations against Christianity.
Correct.
I'm going to ask kind of a leading question here. Is this sort of thing on the upsurge?
Well, I think it is, and one of the more popular books being promoted among conservatives is the book called Persecution, written by David Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
If you read his book, it's just like 10 pages off of my website.
Yeah.
He just cites hundreds and hundreds of cases throughout America dealing with Christians now being repressed or put down for a variety of things. So I highly recommend David Limbaugh's book, Persecution. It'll key you right in there. And that's basically what I'm doing. I just answer a lot of email and phone calls and direct people to legal sources where, you know, they can get some help.
Okay. Reverend Pettigo is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is the executive director of the National Alliance Against Christian Defamation, against Christian Discrimination. If you'd like to talk to him, 303-382-1150. Let's talk about a recent event. The decision by the judges in Alabama to remove the Ten Commandments from the Alabama courthouse, or from the courthouse to a less prominent area within the courthouse, I should say. Would you consider this an example of defamation against Christianity?
I believe there's a rise of secularism in our nation, and secularism just wants to live life apart from God.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it has to do with prayer or the Ten Commandments seems to be a hot button, and we just saw one. I read something in the paper today where they somebody put in a Ten Commandments at the Salem-Winston courthouse, and mm-hmm. they took it out the very next day. And I understand the feelings and the thoughts and the general attitude right now
mm-hmm.
in our country that's become so politically correct. But I just see this as just another step in purging what's already been there. I mean, now people will argue with me. I believe we've been a Christian nation, that our founders were Christians, that we were based upon Christian principles. Now, not necessarily a theocracy like everybody accuses me of, that we don't want a theocracy. We've never been a theocracy. And that's true. We're not like the Muslims in that I don't want a theocracy. But this country always has been based on the principles and values of the Bible, the Judeo-Christian tradition, and I see secularism as slowly eroding and erasing our heritage, and that's what I'm trying to restrain and stand against.
303-382-1150 is our number here at AM 1150 KNRC. Let me bring up another recent issue. When you talked about removing Christianity from things that have always been Christian, I'm not quoting you verbatim, but words to that effect, let's talk about the Pledge of Allegiance and the efforts to remove the phrase "under God" from the pledge.
Right. I've been in conversations with that Michael Newdell that filed the suit, which he's an interesting character.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is, originally the pledge did not contain the words "under God." It was inserted in 1954, and now there are recent efforts, mainly headed by Mr. Newdell, to remove it.
Right.
Would this fall under anti-Christian defamation?
Discrimination?
Excuse me, defamation against Christianity.
Yeah, well, again, you know, all these are building blocks, and it seemed to really get strong in the 60s, and with the hippie movement and the do-your-own-thing and anti-establishment, secularism really picked up steam, and then it's just continued to move forward with the eliminations of things like that. And even though it was inserted during that time, our national model has always been one nation under God. We see it on our monies. We see it in almost every building and monument in Washington, D.C. In fact, for free thinkers and atheists, if you take a tour of Washington, D.C. and visit every monument and statue in the Library of Congress, there's so much scripture and pictures of Christ and the cross and quotes from the Bible, you'd think you're walking through a church. So,
we're talking to Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination, 303-382-1150. That's the number to call if you want to talk to the Reverend. Dean is in Denver, and he has a question or a comment regarding the separation of church and state.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Fine. Well, yeah, my general comment is on how it's confusing, I would say, to children, for example. Here, on one hand, we talk about the supposed separation between church and state, but then on the other hand, you know, when the president takes his job, he puts his hand on what? He puts it on a Bible.
Yeah.
And in God we trust is in our currency, and all of our laws are based on general Christian values. So it's confusing.
Reverend?
I believe it's become confusing just over the last several years where the court system has made this whole phrase separation of church and state. I believe they've taken it out of context. They've revised it. They've turned it on its original meaning on its head. And no wonder there's confusion. And usually in the school system, if you're talking about kids learning in grade school, middle school, junior school, high school, or whatever, there's hesitancy to teach anything about religion or Christianity because now separation of church and state means you can't mention God, you can't mention the Bible, you can't mention Jesus. Don't you dare talk about your faith. So, of course, there's confusion. Originally, I believe it meant that government should not try to force its views on Christians, on the church, and we're seeing that happening now more than ever.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think generally a government can endorse a religion. It certainly can't force a religion.
Well, I don't know. Isn't that anti-constitution, the government endorsing religion?
When you say endorse, that comes close to promoting it. But then the other part of the First Amendment is neither shall they prohibit the free exercise of religion. And the judiciary, especially, and with judges, are making decisions that seem to be prohibiting the exercise of faith. So I think we're seeing a real conflict in our judicial system with the whole thing of Christianity and the separation of church and state.
303-382-1150 is the number. We are speaking with the Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. Mick is on a cell phone. You still there, Mick?
Yes. Good afternoon, Jerome. Hi. And Reverend. Yeah, I, in all due respect, Reverend, I have several people in the family that are in the religious clergy, and we've talked about this, discussed it.
sometimes rather heatedly, but, you know, always in with respect to each other's viewpoints. And what I wanted to ask you, would you feel just as strongly if, say, the Jewish Torah or the Buddhist Wheel of Life of Eternity were to be displayed at, say, the state capitol here in Denver, and the courts came out and said, well, that's, you know, you can't do that, like they've done in Winston-Salem and in Birmingham, Alabama, just recently. Would you feel as strongly about that? Would you support people in those religious denominations to have their religious symbols exhibited alongside the Ten Commandments? I almost think I know what your answer is going to be, but I did want to hear, you know, what your sincere thoughts would be on that. And I have just one quick follow up when you answer.
All right. Well,
I guess it depends. When you ask me what I feel, I feel different than many times what I believe.
Mm.
If you're talking about feelings, no, I wouldn't like the Buddhist wheel or the Torah up against the Bible or the cross.
Mm-hmm.
What I believe is everybody in America has the freedom to worship as they please. They have the freedom of religion. They can do what they want in terms of worship or whatever God they want to believe or not believe in. That's what I believe. But again, you're talking about putting something up in a courthouse. I'm talking about what has been established from the beginning of America, and that's our Judeo-Christian principles. We were never a Muslim nation, never a Hindu nation, never a Buddhist nation, not even a secularist nation. We were based on Christian principles.
Right.
And you know one thing I find interesting? If you talk to any Muslim or Hindu that comes over to our country, and the first question you'd ask them is, what is America religiously? They wouldn't hesitate or blink an eye by saying, you're a Christian country.
Yeah, well,
but
we
in America have
Reverend, if I can interject here, because I know there's only limited time.
Yeah, there is.
But I think generally speaking, that is the one-sidedness of your argument, which, you know, people that are in the middle, more in the middle like me, we can't buy that. Because number one, our country and the founders of our country, although they did come from Christian nations, and their forefathers came from Christian nations, they were more deists. They believed in God. They did not necessarily believe in one religious denomination or another, in Christianity as being the utmost religious philosophy that would help them to form the moral ethics and the legal philosophy that this republic was going to eventually take up.
Well, I think you're wrong there.
Well, I beg to differ with you, because I've read a lot.
Yeah, well,
and
I've
I know that Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, although invoking the name of Christianity,
let me ask you a question.
The main point. They were deists.
No, they were not
deists.
Deists.
And also, you said,
they
sir,
were not
you
deists.
Said, sir, about Christianity. What about Judeo-Christianity? From the tree, from the trunk of the tree, came Christianity and Islam, and you right now you said you wouldn't be happy, you wouldn't want it that way, and you would not support them, and I think that's very hypocritical. You've said
you're a hypocrite.
All right,
well,
Mike,
I'll tell
thanks.
You why.
Thank
well,
you, Mike.
I'll tell you why. You say you're in the middle, you're not in the middle, you're on the left, and you can't prove to me, other than two people of the founding fathers who put together the Declaration of Independence that may have called themselves deists, and those that put together the Constitution, you can't find me more than two men that would call themselves deists. These were evangelical Christians, and I have their testimony written down if you mind going to the Library of Congress and reading it yourself.
All right, Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. We will rejoin the Reverend when we come back. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
We knew you'd find us sooner or later. Now tell your friends about Denver's most entertaining talk radio station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Guys, you've probably been hearing the message about UltraCarb for a while now. And if you need to shed a few pounds, you may have even thought about calling. Well, now's the time. Fact is, there is no magic bullet for weight loss. But UltraCarb is the ultimate secret weapon for dropping those pesky pounds you can never seem to get rid of. In a recent article in a popular men's health magazine, the main ingredient in UltraCarb was quoted as extremely effective for blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. Most men don't have the time to go to the gym for 2 hours a night. And while it's important to eat right and get a little exercise, most men certainly are not going to completely give up the pizza, the beer, and the foods they love. If that's true for you, UltraCarb can help you drop the spare tire and trim the love handles and get you back into those jeans that muck you from the back of the closet. Best of all, UltraCarb is absolutely guaranteed to work or your money back. Get back the body you used to have.
Call now for your risk-free trial of UltraCarb. 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. It's guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
Tonight on Court TV, an all-new, all-real Forensic Files. An ATM machine and a couple of how-to manuals. Do they add up to suicide?
There needed to be some additional investigation done.
Or murder?
Seemed like a normal marriage.
Find out how forensic detectives unravel this twisted tale of lies and deceit.
She said, you could commit a murder, and the police were not smart enough to catch you.
Forensic Files, tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific, only on Court TV, the investigation channel.
Hey, what are you doing on the computer?
Believe it or not, I just finished our taxes.
Come on.
Yeah, with TurboTax software.
Are you sure we did it right?
Yes. TurboTax asks you simple questions, and it puts the answers on all the right forms.
What if we made a mistake?
Well, it checks for errors and missed deductions, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Wow.
I know. So now I can print our return and mail it, or file it electronically, and we're done.
I've always liked that TurboTax.
Really?
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Available at a retailer near you. See box for guaranteed details.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Denver Center Theater Company presents its silver anniversary season and Stephen Vincent Benet's masterful story of the American Civil War, John Brown's Body. January 29th through February 28th. Single tickets are on sale. Now for this richly textured account of the American Civil War, utilizing music from the period and a cast of actors who played roles on both sides of the conflict. Tickets for John Brown's Body are on sale now by calling 303-893-4100 or denvercenter.org.
Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
My name is Jerome Davis. Our guest today is the Reverend Tom Pettigo from the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination, and Dave has been waiting very patiently. I think Dave is still there. Are you, Dave?
Certainly.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, my friend.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Hello?
Are you with me?
Yeah. Dave, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, now.
Yeah, there are a couple things, but in light of the last call, I just had to mention to Tom that what's one of the tragic parts of this is the intentionally dishonest history that is being perpetrated upon the American people.
Intentionally in what way?
Well,
intentionally, what's dishonest?
If you look back at the founding documents, like, well, the charters the King of England gave to the colonists here, many of them say one of their purposes in coming is the advancement of the Christian faith.
Uh-huh.
Right, Tom?
Reverend Pettigo? Oh, just a minute. excuse me, Dave, we've lost the Reverend for a moment, so hold on. The Reverend was disconnected for a moment. We're trying to get him back. Hold on 1 minute.
Well, I mean, even you yourself know, don't you, Jerome, that if you look at the founding documents, many of them state as a reason for forming the colony was the advancement of the Christian faith.
I am under the impression that the founding fathers were deists. That
have
they
you ever
believed
looked at any of have you ever looked at any of the charters for any of the colonies?
The charters for any of the original 13 colonies?
Right.
No, I haven't. I haven't looked at those.
You should do that, because if you look at that and the actual writing and text of the documents, okay. It says one of their stated purposes is the advancement of the Christian faith.
Okay, Dave, the Reverend Pettigo has rejoined us. Can you get back to your original statement?
Well, I was saying that really one of the things you have to fight all of the time, Tom, is this intentional misrepresentation of our, you know, history.
I agree. And you are right. The original federations of the colonies were Christians. They came over here primarily to spread the gospel and proclaim Jesus Christ. The last caller, not you, but the last caller, this makes me frustrated, angry, but I also have to laugh. He called me one-sided. He called me hypocritical. He says he has clergy in his family, but they talk reasonably and don't get angry, but he got angry at me. He said he was in the middle, but you know what? He had as much agenda, which was to the left of mine, as I am, I guess, to the right, but he cannot prove historically that the founding fathers, we either gathered together to put together the Declaration of Independence or our Constitution, were deists. He might come up with two guys.
Okay, like, again, that is the twisted history that no one goes back and looks at the original documents. They just say over and over again. And the other thing is there was nothing Judeo-Christian about our religion at the beginning. It was strict Christian, and truly it was Protestant Christian, because the founding fathers, they didn't like Roman Catholics very much either.
Well, I am really confused now. As an agnostic, I am totally confused. It's my understanding you can't have Christian without the Judeo.
Well, see, I tend sometimes to try to be politically correct,
okay,
not to offend anybody listening or callers, but I believe he is right. We had the Protestant ethic, and, of course, our Bible includes the Old Testament. We believe the New Testament is the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah through Jesus Christ, but definitely I believe that our country had Christian principles founded upon the Bible. That's why I say Judeo-Christian. I put Old and New Testament together, but like he said, it was a strict Protestant value ethic that came to this country.
303-382-1150. Kathy has been waiting very patiently. Kathy.
Hi. Hello. Nice to talk to you. I just wanted to point out, I guess this is sort of old hat, but Jefferson was a pantheist, and that's pretty well known. But
no, it's not well known, and he was not a pantheist.
Yes, he was.
No,
pantheist.
He wasn't. In fact,
excuse me for the ignorant ones among us. What's a pantheist?
God is everywhere-ism.
No. No, the last couple
of years... I beg to differ with you, but anyway, I just have a question for you out of curiosity. How do you feel about the situation in France right now where the French government is basically making people like Sikhs remove their turbans or Muslim girls remove their headscarves?
I don't care too much about France, period.
Well, I used to live there, and I think it's a wonderful country,
yeah,
but I was just curious about that.
As a nation, they have a right, I guess, and what they're doing is they feel in the safety of their country. I think we have the same problem here. Wasn't it somewhere in Florida where a gal refused to take off her scarf for the driver's license picture?
Yes, I actually agree with the French government personally. I was just wondering. It seems like you might agree with me as well.
I don't know. I don't have an issue with that, but I do have an issue with your understanding of Jefferson.
Well, anyway, I used to teach history, and that's one of the things I used to teach because that's what was told to me in my history classes at university. So I beg to differ with you. But anyway, I was just curious.
Well, ma'am, let me ask you a question, if Jerome would permit me. How can you beg to differ if you have the very writings of Jefferson himself? When he was being attacked by other clergy, and he said, "I am in fact a Christian," and those were his own words.
Didn't he say he was a real Christian or an original Christian?
Later in his life, he became a Unitarian, but back during those times, a Unitarian's belief was a little bit different from what we know of Unitarians today. He was never a pantheist. In fact, he held an Episcopalian seat for most of his life until the last few years of his life.
Well, I would have to see that, but anyway, and of course we all know that he was sleeping with his dead wife's half-sister, which he owned, so he
wasn't. You believe all that leftist college propaganda.
That's not college. We know Sally Hemings has descendants. It's been proven. They've taken blood and they've looked at their DNA.
Well, you know what? Leftists and liberals talk out of both sides.
I'm not a leftist and I'm not a liberal.
I know.
I'm a Quaker, and I'm very proud of my background.
All right, let's try to maintain some degree of civility. with you here.
I'm not saying
I don't like
being
name called. I'm not a leftist. I'm not a liberal. I happen to be a Quaker.
I'm not calling her that. I am saying
you did call me that.
No, I didn't. I'm saying leftists and liberals will use Jefferson all the time to promote their cause until they're talking to a conservative, and then they'll slip in some things to try to disavow Jefferson, like he was a bad white man for you know.
Well, I mean, it's either true or it isn't.
Pardon me?
It's either the fact that he slept with one of the slaves, it's either true or it isn't.
Well, I don't know.
Well, it is true because...
Now you know, Rev.
it is true because they did a DNA testing on Sally?
Yeah.
Yes.
And somehow they have Jefferson's DNA sampling?
Yes, they do.
They have pieces of his hair. Mm-hmm.
So what? So I don't understand. Why did you present that to me in the first place? I don't get it.
Well, to me, the essence of Christianity is you're supposed to love your neighbor and you're supposed to be compassionate. And I'm a big fan of American history. I love George Washington and Jefferson and all of them, but they certainly weren't perfect. They were
were
slave owners, and
no
I think Jefferson was a little
perfect.
Bizarre because he sort of, in a strange way, almost committed incest because he was sleeping with his dead wife's half sister. It happened to Sally Hemings, her father.
Well, you have a real agenda. So are you saying?
No, I don't have an agenda.
So
I'm just sort of. Well, anyway, I'll let you go.
All right, Kathy. Yeah, we got to get out of here. Thanks
for
the call.
Jerome.
Yes, sir.
When your guests come on,
the guest. They're the callers.
No, so far I have really appreciated your first 2 hours, and I know you want a conversation. So I want to ask these callers questions in return and respond to them, but it's like they're afraid you're going to cut them off and then they have to over-talk me. Whoever calls in, we would love just to converse with you, right?
Well, yes, we would. And with regard to that, I want to make sure that you give them the website so that they can converse with you later. Right now, we at AM 1150 KNRC, we've got to converse with Tim McLaughlin. He's in the newsroom. Tim, you don't mind us conversing with you for a minute or so?
No, not at all.
All right, come on in here.
All right, it's sunny, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Verizon Wireless. Two children were hospitalized this morning after being exposed to dangerous levels of carbon monoxide in their home in Montbello. A car was accidentally left running in the garage until the vehicle ran out of gas. Firefighters say there was a high level of carbon monoxide in the top floor of that house. A proposal to build a tent city for Denver's homeless has been presented to the city's Homelessness Commission. The Denver Tent City Initiative says the idea is based on one in Portland, Oregon. The proposal didn't estimate the cost of the project, but says about 40 men, women, and children would be able to shelter at that facility. A bill that will be going before the legislature would hold dog owners responsible the first time a vicious dog attacks another animal or human. Current law does not hold the owners responsible if the dog doesn't have a record of a previous bite. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche take on the Panthers tonight in Florida. Avs and Panthers haven't yet played this season. The Denver Nuggets are coming off their win last night over the Utah Jazz. Tonight, the Nuggets back home against the Phoenix Suns. Now, use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz's pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:37.
Frankly, it's difficult to imagine that a breed of men as fierce and warlike as the Scots ever learned to embrace the niceties of a civilized life, much less advance them. I mean, there they were, traipsing around the wee glen in nothing but their bagpipes. And next thing you know, they've invented distilled liquor. Now it's Sean Connery, the Highland Games. Why, they're even making stained glass right here in Colorado. Beautiful stained glass. Extraordinary, really, that everyone can appreciate. Even men like myself. Real men who don't feel the need to toss around telephone poles in a pathetic attempt to compensate for the notion that their forefathers wore skirts.
English swine. Did you not see Braveheart? Hi, this is Martin Faith, the owner of Scottish Stained Glass. If you want to make a unique statement in your home, think leaded glass. It's private, beautiful to look at, and surprisingly affordable, with prices starting at just $145, including insulation. For a free in-home consultation, call us at 303-766-3811. 303-766-3811.
KNRC News Time is 1:38. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound I-25 south of Hamden, Denver police checking a report of a minor accident there. Courtesy tow truck actually came upon it first and said there were two or three cars turned the wrong way around on the shoulder. So be on the lookout for a little extra activity there, southbound in the valley south of Hamden. Rest of the freeway system looking very, very good right now. Still have a disabled armored car outbound on Auraria Parkway, about 7th Street, right there near Metro State College. Not causing a problem for anybody, but he's still sitting there and waiting for some help. And we have an ambulance on the scene of a medical emergency on 19th Avenue east of Sherman Street. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar, always there, always ready. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to string together a series of pretty good-looking days with mostly sunny skies, clear at night, and temperatures, well, very much in the seasonal range. We'll top out around 45 today, drop to 18 for the low tonight, rise back into the mid-40s on Thursday, and on Friday it'll be even milder with a high around 55. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter, told in the Key of Blues. The new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. Cooking at the Cookery played to record-breaking crowds throughout the country, including Phoenix, New York, and Chicago. Critics agree the show is red-hot, astonishing, electrifying, delicious entertainment. Cooking at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets just $40, Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m., weekend matinees at 3 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m. Special $30 price on Wednesdays. On sale at Ticket West outlets, King Supers, by calling 866-464-2626 or at www.denvercivic.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Intel is feeling more generous. Company announcing plans to double its quarterly dividend of 4 cents a share, but the news is doing little for the stock. Intel right now down, in fact, almost a half dollar. Symptomatic of the overall tech sector. Right now, the NASDAQ is losing 7 points.
We're having a correction in technology here. A lot of noise today with some companies like Lucent and Motorola and Advanced Micro Devices that people are arguing whether their outlooks were good or not good.
Jeff Lindsay is Chief Investment Officer at State Street Research. Right now, AMD stock is down a dollar and a half. Lucent is off a quarter. Better going elsewhere, though. Dow Industrials are up 84 points inside the final hour. S&P 500 is up 7. Lots of winners inside the Dow, including J.P. Morgan, which issued better-than-expected quarterly results. Stock right now is up almost a dollar to a new 52-week high. Again, the Dow is ahead by 84 points. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
We are talking to the Reverend Tom Pettigo. He is the executive director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. Marie has been waiting very patiently. How are you doing, Marie?
I'm doing fine. I'm very concerned about your guest.
Okay.
Reverend, in this country, we're a country of laws, not a country of men. And the Constitution is how it is interpreted by our independent judiciary are the rules that we live by. What you appear to be trying to do is recreate the religious wars of Europe, which is one of the things that people came to this country to escape. You've eliminated Catholics. Just a moment ago, because you're talking about Protestant ethics, Catholics are 60 million strong in this country. They're the largest single religion under the Christian umbrella. Protestantism is not monolithic at all. There are many different Protestant sects. And I don't care what the founding fathers believed. They were not the disciples. They were not apostles. We don't have to go back and try and find, like, a biblical reference. We have an independent judiciary And all those men wanted an independent judiciary. The Constitution was created with three independent branches of government. We have an independent judiciary. And everybody, all the original states, all the states that come in after the original states, they adhere to that. So I think that the arguments about what the founding fathers were may make sense in terms if you're trying to find a religion. But in terms of my country and my civil government, they're not pertinent.
So what is your question?
I'm making a statement.
Okay. Well, you seem to lump in about 20 different things there. I'm not quite sure which one to respond to. The Supreme Court that I think you're talking about, you'll see even in politics today why that's such a hot potato with conservatives and liberals, because whoever you stack the court with, they're going to be liberal, moderate, or conservative, will depend how they interpret the Constitution. That's
so you
why
don't...
we have a lot of liberals stopping George Bush's circuit court nominations at every point.
So what you are saying is that we should not have an independent judiciary. You want to
you
not
mean
have
like
an
the Supreme
independent
Court
judiciary.
You mean the Supreme Court and the federal courts?
Yes. That's called an independent, it's called the third branch of government, the balance of power.
I'm familiar with the third branch of government. I don't understand what you're saying about that. Of course I believe in the three branches of government.
Which
I'm
are
also
they?
For Catholics. I don't know what made you say that. I was arguing primarily with this person about her statement concerning the founding fathers, and I know that doesn't mean much to you, but...
Well, according to Marie, it doesn't matter what the founding fathers believed in. We have an independent judiciary. And
they signed a constitution. We have the document.
That's right, and we have a First Amendment. And guess who's trying to change the First Amendment, reinterpret it, revise it, make it total revisionism, is a judiciary that would tend to be liberal.
Well, I think that's where you and I would disagree. And why I brought in the whole element of Protestantism, because you said that it was the Protestant ethic that the country was founded on. You know, of course, that where the Ten Commandments were posted with public money in public space, they were not the Ten Commandments of the Catholic religion. They were the Ten Commandments of the King James Version, which is different. So you had the power, the police power of the state.
How
promoting
many commandments were different?
One form of the Ten Commandments.
How many commandments were different between Catholic and Protestant?
The first three. And it matters a whole lot to people who are Catholics.
That
is exactly how Europe started these terrible, terrible wars.
Wait a minute. You have just accused me from the beginning of being anti-Catholic.
Well,
and I want to tell you that my organization not only helps Catholics and embraces Catholics, but I work with the Catholic Anti-Defamation League as well, because our common cause is to bring back Christian values, Christianity, and the same the same Jesus that both Catholics and Protestants worship.
Well, but how they worship varies tremendously,
well,
and that was
we
why there were
Protestants.
Wars in Europe. Now, are you telling me that the Catholic League, Catholic Civil Rights League supports
right.
the placement of the King James Version of the Ten Commandments in Alabama?
I don't know. I have to talk to William Donahue and get his...
Okay, so he's not... Who is a member of your organization? You alluded to some group?
I alluded to some
group. The Catholic Anti-Defamation? I've never heard of them. I've heard of the Catholic League of America.
There's another one headed by William Donahue. He's
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've worked with them before.
But he's not promoting the King James Version of the Ten Commandments, I think.
On many other issues, almost...
Name one.
Anti-Christian discrimination in Hollywood. That is our number one focus on TV, the
for
media.
Example.
We go after that full force. Anti-Christianism in public schools or even parochial schools, pressure... The government's putting on parochial schools, he and I would agree on as well.
Well, you just gave me three things, okay? Now, If you don't like what Hollywood is doing, I support your right to boycott. I support your First Amendment right to do whatever you can to discourage people from going to movies or supporting anything in Hollywood that you disagree with. I absolutely support that wholeheartedly. But where you and I would disagree is I do not support the right of the government to come in and censor something that they would be doing in Hollywood. I don't think that's fair.
Well, I don't either.
All right, Marie, thanks for the call. We got to drop you.
I agree with her on that one. She was seemingly putting thoughts and ideas in my head that aren't really there, I don't think.
Well, that happens sometimes here at Talk Radio. 303-382-1150. Let's go to Joe in Boulder. He's got a question for you, Reverend.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
I basically just want to make a statement.
Okay.
I studied the Bible for 10 years, and I grew spiritually from the Gospels.
Okay.
And later on, I took up Buddhism, and I live here in Boulder, and I have two children that are going to be going to public school.
Oh, wait a minute. You studied the Bible 10 years, and then you
for 10 years
to Buddhism. What, Christianity didn't do it for you, or what?
Actually, it was running into a lot of people like this fella Tom.
Reverend Pettigo.
Reverend. That was so dogmatic and wasn't able, Christ taught the deepest sense of compassion and love.
Sir, where am I dogmatic? Tell me what has upset you where I'm dogmatic.
It's basically, well, it's like all the other callers, my son is going to be raised in a Buddhist household.
Okay. That's
in my religion,
yeah.
The teachings say that that Christ was a Buddha, that he was an enlightened being, and that his message of love and compassion is equally as legitimate as any others. This is in my religion. My problem is if I pay taxes and my child goes to a school and they have prayer time or they have the Ten Commandments or anything of this in the school, he's going to come home and ask me, why do I have to explain
You're bringing up a dead issue. That is not permitted in the public schools anyway.
But in the South, they've tried to get prayer in the public schools.
But that hasn't happened.
Organization would love to see prayer.
That's not necessarily true. I'm sorry that you are imposing that thought on me.
Well, in any government-sponsored place, a courthouse, anything, the separation of church and state should stand.
I agree, but you know what my issue is, sir?
What's that?
Should your kids be allowed at all in a public school to even say the name Buddha or talk about the religion?
Let's say during a class, a teacher says,
"What's one thing
to talk about it?" Sure.
But the teachers shouldn't be like
the issue going on over here at the university. Some of the professors in their left wing opinions have gone up against some of the Republican kids over here at the university.
Okay, Joe, let the Reverend respond to that, and we thank you for the call.
He's arguing, he's trying to knock down a straw man that's not there. There isn't prayer in public schools anymore. There isn't the Ten Commandments. There isn't the reading of the Bible. My organization tries to give your kid and my kid the freedom to at least say I'm a Christian or I'm a Buddhist, or even during maybe a report, talk about Jesus or talk about Buddha. But now everybody's so Christophobic and religiophobic that you're not even allowed in a public school to talk about Buddha, Jesus, Allah, or whatever.
Well, I don't know, Rev. I got to disagree with you. There's plenty of prayer in public school.
Well, if you go to my webpage, NAACP.
You ever been around on test day? 303-382-1150. This is AM 1150 KNRC. We're talking with Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. Mike, Rob, and Dave, be patient. We'll be getting to you shortly.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508, or online at ipfunding.com.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
You got the Carlson file handy?
Yeah, it's over there on the credenza.
You mean the bookcase?
It's a credenza.
Okay, where I come from, that's a bookcase.
Dude, we grew up together.
So you claim.
Furniture, that's our thing. This week during our Office Max Business Savings event, save $50 on any furniture purchase of $350 or more. Buy one, get one free on Smead filing products and 3M Post-it notes, plus 10% off on all Office Max ink and toner. At Office Max, our thing is unbeatable savings. What's your thing?
Offer ends January 24th. See store for details.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Have you been considering adoption? There are numerous children in Adams County who need adoptive families. Make a child's dream come true in the new year and foster or adopt a child from Adams County. You do not need to live in Adams County to participate. Call them now at 303-412-5151. That's 303-412-5151. Make your New Year's resolution to fulfill a child's dream and be an adoptive parent for Adams County.
Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot at Home Services. Visit your local store today for more information. The Home Depot at Home Services, installation you can trust.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and helped them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
Jerome Davis sitting in for Enid Goldstein just about 4.5 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. We've been talking with Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. 303-382-1150. That's the number that Dave called. Dave in Denver. Who is discriminating?
Hello, hello, Jerome.
How you doing?
Yeah, I got cut off last time even before I asked my question, but with the telephone problems you had with Tom and me, maybe that's what happened.
Well, you know, we try to, you know, be judicious with our
Tom is being savaged by these callers. They're not even engaging in a conversation with him. It's really hateful and bigoted.
I don't hear that at all,
Thank
Dave.
You. I do.
Hateful,
I do.
Bigoted.
I think if you're a fair-minded person, you would hear it loud and clear. They have never addressed any of the issues, and he got on to talk about the hate and discrimination that Christians are enduring in our society today, like in Hollywood, where they make these vicious, hateful characterizations, and they just happen to make the character Christian.
Well, I will give you that, Dave and Reverend Pettigo. I will give you that. It seems like every time there's a nutcase murderer in some Hollywood movie, the guy is always quoting scripture.
It is like Jerome back in the 30s when they made black people doofus, ignorant, shuffling, creepy people. And that's what's going on today, and that's what's so hateful about it.
Mm-hmm.
And your callers have been a perfect example of it. But really, what I was calling
well,
Tom
I think
about,
the callers,
what my original question
okay,
was,
go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
Is who is doing this? Who is behind this, Tom? Because this can't be just a spontaneous thing. There must be groups who have a purpose and a focus and agenda and spend money to advance it.
And Dave, we got to let you go while the Reverend answers the question.
Thank you for the call.
Well, there are a variety of groups. And as I said from the beginning, there has been a rise of secularism in the last 30 years. I think we see a lot of this being promoted by the American Civil Liberties Union that are, I think, trying to purge our nation of anything Christian or religious. We have everything from, I think, liberal groups, the Interfaith Alliance. I think the hippies of my generation, the aging baby boomers, are now in positions of leadership politically, judicially. People for the American Way, I think, is an extremely liberal group that's trying to eradicate Christianity. So they're different.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on. They're trying to eradicate Christianity?
From the public marketplace of ideas.
Okay.
Right. I don't think they'll talk the talk and say we want freedoms for everybody, mm-hmm. just so long as it's not in politics, just so long as it's not in public schools, just so long as it's not at your place of employment. And the list continues to grow. And I do believe in a slippery slope. And that one former caller was talking about France.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think there's an enlightenment trying to come to the United States. And that enlightenment involves getting rid of Christianity and spiritual things. There's a point in time, prophetically, I think they'll bring back the guillotines here in the United States. Kill off the Christians.
Bring back the guillotine.
Pardon me?
Well, we never had the guillotine in the first place. What do you mean,
I mean, like the French did. Bring back the guillotine. Knock off the people who have religious beliefs.
All right. We're talking to the Reverend Tom Pettigo, the executive director of an organization called the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. We will return in the final hour, the 2 o'clock hour, with Reverend Pettigo. Mike, Elaine, please, don't go anywhere. We will get to your calls. We got to do the news thing. You know how it happens over here at KNRC. Got to do the news, then we'll come back with Reverend Pettigo and your calls at 303-382-1150. My name is Jerome Davis. I'm sitting in for Enid Goldstein here on the Enid Goldstein program. Please come back and join us for the final hour here at AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Sunny skies, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Taco Bell. The judge in the Kobe Bryant rape case says he'll hold a closed-door hearing Friday to determine if the accuser's medical and sexual history should be presented in court. Judge Terry Ruckriegel said Colorado's rape shield law does not require a closed hearing, but cited a state case that said victims cooperating in the prosecution of sexual offenders must be protected from psychological or emotional abuse in court. The decision is a victory for the woman who says Bryant raped her in June at the Colorado Mountain Resort where she worked. Bryant's defense attorneys have issued subpoenas to the woman's mother, friends, and clinics, saying she has a history of attempted suicide and attention seeking. For his part, Bryant has denied that he raped the woman. He said the two engaged in consensual sex. A group called the Denver Tent City Initiative has presented a proposal to the Denver Homelessness Commission. The proposal calls for a tent city to be built that would give temporary shelter to the city's homeless throughout the year. The tent city idea is based on one in Portland, Oregon. The group has asked for one of four locations that would be donated by Denver for the project site. The DTCI proposal didn't estimate the project's cost, but says about 40 men, women, and children would be able to shelter in the facility. The proposal also doesn't say where the residents would get food or water or sanitation facilities. The state legislature will be taking up a proposal that would create a one-strike-you're-out law for vicious dogs that attack humans or other animals. Many people have been injured by dogs with no previous records, and current law says that owners can't be held responsible if the dogs don't have a previous record of a bite. The main focus of the bill are pit bull dogs, since those dogs make up a large percentage of reported attacks. A woman in Elbert County was killed recently by three rampaging bulldogs, which then went on to injure two other men. Pit bulls have already been banned in Denver, Louisville, Castle Rock, and Fort Lupton. A Jefferson County judge has decided to add to the sentence of a teenager convicted of killing three of her friends in a car accident. 17-year-old Mallory Leake was already sentenced to 12 years probation for the deaths. Now, Jefferson County District Judge Thomas Woodford has added the provision that Leake also not drive for 12 years. He had already told Leake that she couldn't leave Denver metro area for 6 years, that she has a 5 p.m. curfew for those 6 years, must perform 700 hours of community service and isn't allowed to attend any events at Chatfield High School for 2 years. The crash last February also injured 8 other people. President Bush stumping for re-election touted job training programs at an Ohio community college today as he embarked on a 2-day campaign swing. Echoing a theme from last night's State of the Union address, he said the economy is strong and that, quote, housing is up, inflation is low, interest rates are low. The president said while the economy is trending upward, some sectors like the manufacturing industry continue to suffer. He also urged Congress to pass an energy bill and medical liability reform now. Campaigning in New Hampshire, Senator John Kerry ripped parts of President Bush's Medicare reform efforts. He said senior citizens will get gouged.
And the only reason George Bush did this is so he could line the pockets of his friends in the drug industry.
With the New Hampshire primary looming, the latest poll numbers coming out of the Granite State show Kerry locked in a virtual dead heat with former Vermont Governor Howard Dean. Dean leads one tracking poll with 25%, with Kerry nipping at his heels at 23%. A U.S. scientist says he's not convinced that North Korea could turn its limited nuclear technology into an actual weapon. Siegfried Hecker told lawmakers in Washington today that North Korea could make plutonium. Plutonium metal is a prerequisite for nuclear weapons. The former Los Alamos National Laboratory had recently visited North Korea's central nuclear complex. December housing starts rose at their quickest pace since 1984. The figures came as a surprise. The U.S. Commerce Department says December housing starts rose 1.7% to a seasonally adjusted 2.088 million annual rate. Stocks were mixed just before the close of today's session. The Dow was up about 90 points. The NASDAQ down just about 10 points. The S&P 500 up a little bit, or up just about 6.5 points. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche have another game in Florida tonight, this time against the Florida Panthers. On Monday, the Avs beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in overtime. Tonight's the first game of this season between the Avs and Panthers. Denver Nuggets come home tonight after their 96-75 hammering of the Utah Jazz last night. Nuggets take on the Phoenix Suns at the Pepsi Center tonight. Nuggets have beaten the Suns twice this season. College basketball tonight finds the CU Buffs in Stillwater to play the Oklahoma State Cowboys. The Air Force Falcons, meanwhile, are at home against the Islanders from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Savory, satisfying, and just 99 cents plus tax for a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations. Try the new cheesy bean and rice burrito with 3 real cheeses. When you want quality, think outside the bun. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Does your accounting firm really know you, your business, and your goals? At Earhart Keefe, Steiner & Huttman, we spend time with you to learn about your business and your goals. As Denver's largest locally owned accounting firm, EKS&H has been serving companies for over 25 years. The roots of the success of EKS&H are built on a corporate culture where service is our priority. If you're looking for an accounting firm that is progressive and will really spend time with you, there's only one name that should come to mind, EKS&H. At Earhart, Keefe, Steiner, and Hotman, we'll support you with integrity to help your business flourish. Call us at 303-740-9400. That's 303-740-9400. Or visit us on the web at EKSH.com. EKS&H, Certified Public Accountants and Advisors. Trust that is earned.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound I-25 approaching Hamden, getting back to normal after an earlier stall. Courtesy tow truck and a Denver police officer moved the vehicle on farther down the highway so that the gentleman could continue the car repairs. Everything else on the freeway system moving along in very good shape. No accidents or stalls to impede traffic. The disabled armored car is still there, outbound on Auraria Parkway at 7th Street. He is the loneliest guy in the world right now because there's nobody around him helping him, and it's not causing any sort of a traffic problem either. When the weather gets bad, stop in a Waterway Car Wash for the Winter Protection Package to help you fight off winter's evil roads, salt, slush, and grime. Pay him a visit today. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our temperatures are going to be on a nice, even keel over the next couple of days with seasonal highs. And, well, we'll have lots of pretty sunshine. We'll top out around 45 for the high today with fair skies tonight. A low of 18, back in the mid-40s with sunshine tomorrow, and turning a little breezy on Friday with a high 53 to 57. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under sunny skies, it's 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
7.5 minutes after 2 o'clock, it's Wednesday here at AM 1150 KNRC. Jerome Davis sitting in for Enid Goldstein. Mike has been waiting. Mike in Colorado Springs, how you doing?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Mike.
All right, yeah, this is Mike. Good afternoon, Tom.
Let me state, I forgot to state to those who may be just joining us, our guest is the Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination, and go ahead, Mike.
Well, let me tell you just real quick, I had just two little comments. Okay. I wanted to say about Mr. Tom Pettigo that he's like a person who always shows up at the right place at the right time, and you never quite know where he's going to appear. You don't really find him, but I think the Spirit of God works through Tom, so he finds you.
You're being sarcastic, aren't you, Mike?
No, I'm being very complimentary.
Okay.
So I have a question for Tom also.
All right.
I believe God uses Tom to bring him into places that other people don't normally get to, because that's how God uses his people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to remind people that on this hate issue, Tom is absolutely right that when you take it as a whole, take all of the shows on TV, all of the comedy shows, all of the shows deriding and berating Christianity, and the office of being a pastor, especially since some of the scandals happening in the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. I believe that the liberal people in this country, or the people who are ungodly, rather, are using it as an opportunity to do exactly what Tom said, to demonize Christians so not only will people get angry with them, but angry enough to hurt them or to burn a synagogue or a church.
Mm.
That actually happened outside of town here. Regular Christian churches are being vandalized by people, and probably teenagers, who just don't like what Christians stand for. So the potential is there to do some damage. Abraham Lincoln, a lot of people, the Democrats really hold him up in high esteem.
Well, the Republicans do too, don't they?
Yeah, and you do too, don't you, Jerome?
Somewhat.
Okay, well, I mean, nobody's perfect, but
exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
he was a motivator to end slavery.
Yeah, but did he, you know, not to get off into this, but we've got to get into the reasons that Lincoln did use emancipation. I believe in the letter to Horace Greeley, he said if he could save the Union without freeing a single slave, he would do it. And if he could save the Union with freeing some and keeping others enslaved, he would do that also. So it's, you know, it's the motives behind what he did.
A personal comment he made to his wife was that he felt it was God's will
mm-hmm.
for him to free slaves, and not only to do that, but to put a prohibition on alcohol so people wouldn't be drunk with it and destroy their lives. And he also had a mandate he felt was from God himself to put in God we trust on our money.
Well, if he truly felt he had a mandate from God to end slavery, then, you know, saving the Union would seem to be secondary.
Yeah, he did. This is just from his own comments. But a lot
All
of
right,
people
but anyway, to the Reverend.
Yeah, a lot of people don't read the details, but I want to know if Tom agrees with this, that the hate speech, especially coming from the gay and lesbian movement, is an indication of the not so much hatred of being told that what they're doing is wrong, but the hatred of knowing that it's coming from people who say, God is telling me this, or God is telling you that what you do is a sin. And so they actually find other groups like black groups who have a definite need because of, you know, racism that does exist against my brothers of color. They will use that and use the black cause, and the ACLU is a willing accomplice in this, to turn people against Christians while promoting homosexuality and actually using the NAACP to achieve that. What do you think about that, Tom? And I'll listen.
Thank you.
I would agree with almost all your comments. A lot of my flack has come from militant homosexual groups because I guess conservative Christians have a standard, and our standard is the Bible, and the Bible says homosexuality is against nature and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we believe.
Let me ask you about that.
Yeah.
The Bible says that homosexuality is wrong.
Yes.
First of all, how do you interpret that? And you know, I hate to beat this dead horse, but we're talking about the same Bible that was also used to justify slavery. Now everybody now realizes that that was wrong, and we were wrong in using the Bible to fortress that argument. But we're unanimous in saying that the Bible speaks against homosexuality. What I'm saying is, who interprets?
Who interprets the Bible?
Yeah.
Well, usually the Bible interprets itself. There's enough writers of the Bible and enough books that they coincide and cooperate with one another and agree with one another. There's not one place in the Bible that I know of that advocates, promotes, or even condones homosexuality.
Let me put it this way. Is the Bible the literal word of God?
I believe the Bible is the inspired literal word of God, but you have to interpret it properly and in its right context. And I think that's what you were alluding to.
Yeah.
Some of these Christians in the South were interpreting it way out of context.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul said, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female. We're all one in Christ. That should have eliminated any inferior superiority belief system right away. But
didn't work out that way, did it?
Nope. And that gets back to one of your earlier callers that was trying to discredit Jefferson because of his sin. Mm-hmm. There is not one person that is sinless.
That's
and that
right.
is what Christians believe. There's only one sinless person, and that was Jesus himself. And we're going to blow it. I blow it. Humanity blows it. We do wrong and stupid things. That's what the Bible talks about, is the depravity or sinfulness of man. And that's why we have, for Christians, a Savior that will forgive us of our stupidity and our alienation from God. But just because Jefferson or Lincoln or Washington sinned still doesn't mean they were godless.
Mm-hmm.
They still were men that believed in a creator God and, for the most part, believed the Bible.
303-382-1150. We're talking with Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. Let's go out to Aurora, where Elaine is. How you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm really enjoying your show.
Thank you.
Maybe I should say where I, all my various categories, so right. I'm not accused of being something I'm not.
Okay.
I'm a white woman, middle-aged, married 27 years,
mm-hmm.
three children, straight, of course.
the
and
children,
Christian.
You mean? The children are straight.
Yes.
Okay.
Congratulations.
They're young still, so I'm, who knows. And a Christian.
Okay.
And I'll try to be as kind as I can. First of all,
we can take it. We're big boys.
Well,
here,
everybody's right. being accused of being
right.
rude, and I don't want to be that.
Okay.
As far as private enterprise goes, movies, television shows,
mm-hmm.
You can certainly boycott anything you would like to boycott. That is absolutely your right
mm-hmm.
as an American citizen to do in organized groups and talk amongst friends, congregations, whatever, to privately purchase whatever you choose. That is fine. I will say one other remark that I wanted to say. I would be for a comparative religion class that's an elective in public school where the exact amount of time is spent on every religion, whether it's, and everyone is respected, whether they be Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, pagans, whatever, Wiccas, I don't care, and they're all treated equally. And it's an elective class that students do not have to attend if they do not wish to. This would be an educational opportunity for students who are not aware of different religions to learn about them. Now, if any placards are hung up, all religions' placards should be hung up.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any prayers done, all religions' prayers should be respected.
Mm-hmm.
You could have time for meditation. You could have the Muslims do their prayers. You could have the Wiccas teach the class their prayers. As long as everyone's equal and no one is being discriminated against, that's what I would be for.
How does that sound to you, Reverend?
Sounds overly egalitarian. Mm. I understand where she's coming from, but why? You know, I've been in schools that have that kind of religion class, but there's also, interestingly enough, now some schools teaching the history of Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's primarily understanding the Quran and Allah. Why can't we also have elective classes, non-compulsory, the history of Christianity?
Oh, that would be fine as long as we do them all. And they're all spent exactly the same amount of time, whatever that time was determined to be, and no more.
Well, you
that
know what my group does, Mandel, that frustrates me? Many schools are not permitting after-school clubs, like for Christians, athletes in action, student in actions, inter-varsity on college campuses.
Once again,
primarily Christian, and yet they have other groups. I'm just telling you what my group represents. Mm-hmm. These schools will have the gay and lesbian groups. They'll have gay-straight alliance. They'll, in fact, have Wiccan groups. But my group helps then fight for these students that want to have a Christian group, and they say, no, you can't, separation of school and state.
The public schools that I'm familiar with, and I have quite a bit of familiarity with them, do not allow any of these groups to meet at all. And
well, let me interject this. With regard to the gay and lesbian club, the gay and lesbian is not a religion, right?
That's right.
No. The policies in most schools is if you allow one club to meet during school or after school, you have to permit all clubs. That's the what's called the equal access law that was passed many years ago, but they're not abiding by equal access. They are, in fact, discriminating many times against Christian groups.
That hasn't been my experience, and I've had quite a bit of experience.
Well, your experience could be limited because I'm dealing with the whole United States of America,
well,
and I get
possible.
About 5 to 10 of these complaints a week.
Again, if they're all treated exactly equally, I would be for that. That's fine. My concern, basically, I believe as a Christian that everyone needs to find their own path in life.
Okay.
I believe that this is a private matter that does not belong in the public.
What kind of Christian
sphere.
Are you, ma'am?
I'm a Catholic.
And how do you come to the conclusion as a Christian that everyone should find their path in life?
That's from my experience in life.
Well, as a Christian, though, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And
okay, I accept that for myself. I don't feel that I have to beat other people over the head.
You don't have to beat them.
And they need to come to that themselves as
they
well.
They can't.
The Bible says, judge will be God, not anyone else.
Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. It says, how can a person be saved unless they first hear the word? How can a person come to know God unless first they understand or somebody explains it to them? You're just saying somehow they'll just come to that knowledge, and you don't have to force them, but you can share with them, and that's what I try to do, share with them what I believe to be his truth.
And you know what I think the best way to share as a Christian is the way you live your life on a private basis with your friends, your work associates, the people of your church doing good works. It is not by forcing it down people's throats through the system of laws.
What's forcing it down a person's throat?
Making laws that are the public square that really is not the purview of religion.
Well, Elaine, thanks you for...
Jerome, you know what I just...
Before you respond, Elaine, I got to let her go, and I want to thank her for the call.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Now, Reverend, go ahead.
Well, you know what the issue is this Christmas recently is it's moved now away from nativity scenes and creches. I mean, those are forbidden because you have baby Jesus, angels, and Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
But now, this year, you see a great attack on the Christmas tree because it says Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. So we have groups eliminating, and you saw this throughout the country this year, getting rid of the Christmas tree and also Santa Claus because he's St. Nicholas, St. Christian. We're seeing this slippery slope where now everything that's part of our heritage, Christmas, is now being battled against even in the marketplace. You can't have a Christmas tree at work because it symbolizes Christianity. Well, you know, baloney. I will fight against that.
Reverend Tom Pettigo is who you're listening to, ladies and gentlemen. He's the executive director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. 303-382-1150, Dwayne, Rob, and Ron. We'll be back in a minute.
Awarded Colorado's best newscast and best general reporting by the Associated Press. AM 1150, KNRC.
Got a cold symptom? Take Airborne Natural Cold Remedy. Airborne was created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Find Airborne at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and CVS.
The following conversation is real. It took place on October 20th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Robert. I'm out.
I've got a question for you. Is it
possible to buy own minutes on OnStar but not be tied into a package?
Actually, you have to have an active OnStar subscription to be able to use the phone. All you do is just add a bundle of minutes and then use them.
That's kind of convenient. How does one add minutes?
You can add minutes by using a credit card.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free, voice-activated phone that's built into OnStar-equipped vehicles.
And a long trip from Canada to Central Florida. And I've just used my cell phone, and it's been breaking up. And how does somebody then get a hold of me?
Actually, I can give you the phone number of the vehicle.
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. OnStar Personal Calling is available in most markets. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
I think this is a great system. I thank you very much for your time.
It was my pleasure. You have a safe trip.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
AM 1150 KNRC features more in-depth reporting than any other Denver talk station. Our in-depth reports have been recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the Associated Press for 4 awards of excellence. Hear in-depth reports from award-winning KNRC reporters Mark Roberts and Stacey Farb during the Greg Dobbs Morning Show or anytime at knrcradio.com where you can click it and own it. Denver's in-depth talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
AM 1150 KNRC, Jerome Davis sitting in for Enid Goldstein today. Are Christians being discriminated against throughout the United States? Our guest today thinks so, Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. That's him you heard in the background. How you doing, Rev?
Well, I got a question to ask you. I wanted to talk to you just for a minute before you went to the phones.
Okay.
You're a person of color, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. 45 years ago when I was a little kid, it started out colored person.
Yeah.
What's the difference now between colored person and person of color?
The same thing. They're the same thing. They just use different terms.
So it's gone full circle.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, actually, all of the old terms are still in use somewhat, but that's a term that is still used by people, colored person or person of color.
Well, now I have kind of an ethnic thing to run by you because the greatest separation of church and state violation I have seen seems to be with African-American preachers.
How so?
Well, they seem to, now, your listeners, and you can jump on me for this, but it seems to be the more moderate to left or liberal ministers, such as Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton, they can go into any church and preach the gospel and connect it with politics. But you get somebody conservative that would go into a church, and the ACLU and the media shout to high heaven and say separation of church and state. How dare you do this? Howard Dean was invited by some African Americans to speak in their churches. Now, how is it they can get by with proclaiming the gospel and politics, but a conservative can't?
And are you going to tell me, Reverend, that there are no conservative members of the clergy who do the same thing? I can
few, because they've been intimidated by Barry Lynn, who is, Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, who routinely sends out threat letters that they'll have their be violating IRS rules and have their nonprofit revoked if they dare have a political speaker. So, no, there's a lot of fear among conservatives, but you know, Al Sharpton can preach the word. Jesse can preach the word.
I got to be honest, Reverend. When it comes to what goes on in a church, you're asking the wrong person.
I know. Well, I'm telling you, though.
Okay.
I'm telling you because it happens. And I think if there was, like one of your last callers said, if there was equality, if there was a kind of egalitarianism, if they said, look, it doesn't. But, you know, IRS says you can't promote politics from the pulpit, which I think was a wrong thing. I want to tell you, it is happening, and I don't think it's fair. So if the liberals can do it, I think conservatives should too.
And I think they are doing it. I mean, doesn't in Colorado Springs, doesn't Pastor Ted Haggard, doesn't he do that quite often?
No.
Okay. Like I say, I wouldn't know what goes on in churches. I can only go by what people tell me. 303-382-1150. Right now, we're going to go by what Dwayne tells us. Dwayne is in Aurora.
Hi, Jerome. Hi, Tom.
Hey.
How are you today? Well, I'm just like Jerome. I am an agnostic as well. I guess it's been pretty much inherent in my nature throughout life that when I run into those people that absolutely believe that what they believe is the one and only truth, and it is not only best for them, but it's best for me as well, I'm troubled by that.
Yeah.
One of the things that troubles me, and I kind of refer to it as Christian conceit, and it's been, you've heard it today on the radio, are people who call in and who say things like, you know, our nation was founded out of Christian belief, our laws come from a Christian belief. The fact is that a Christian belief pertains only to the Christian religion, and that's uniqueness. Primarily that Jesus was the Son of God and the only way to salvation. Other than that, Christianity borrowed and absorbed from many pre-existing religions, and the concepts that murder is wrong, lying is wrong, stealing is wrong, all pre-existed and post-dated Christian religions. They existed in laws and codes and everything else. So, you know, this kind of concept that, gee, all of civility and all that is good about man came out of this Christian belief, to me is somewhat offensive as an agnostic.
Dwayne, let's let the Reverend respond to that. Okay. Thanks for the call.
I don't have any responses because, you know, free thinkers are so humorous to me because...
Yeah, free thinking is a bad thing, isn't it?
No, thinking. You can free think about everything as long as it ain't religion.
But I have a question about the discrimination, the concept of Christian discrimination to me, which is rather ridiculous. I mean, you can look at any community, but look at Denver. There are literally hundreds of Christian churches. There are Christian radio and television stations, newspapers, bookstores, publishing house, fellowship groups. To me, and I'd like a response about this question. When Christians talk about discrimination, what they mean is they cannot impose their belief system on other people in a public forum, schools, government buildings, and things like that. And I'm wondering why it is only Christian-based religions that seem to feel the need to do that. I never hear about other religious groups saying, oh, we want you to start the public school day with one of our prayers. We want you to put our laws of our religion up in this government building. It's only Christians.
Dwayne, let him respond.
Thanks. Yeah.
All right.
I don't agree with that, and I don't believe what he just said is accurate. In fact, our country for the last 30 years has bent over backwards to accommodate other religions. That's why even some schools are teaching transcendental meditation, because the hippies brought that in. The Beatles made it popular. We're talking about Hinduism. We talk about Shintoism. And now, because of 9/11 and what happened with the whole Muslim countries, our colleges are becoming Muslim-aware and teaching the Quran and everything like that. So it isn't just Christians. I reject that whole concept.
303-382-1150. Rob is in Denver.
Hi, how are you?
Howdy.
Reverend, how you doing?
Pretty good.
It just seems like there's a lot of fear-based stuff coming out, basically, and it seems to be more political than spiritual. Because you tend to mention liberals, which I'm not one, as being secular, almost un-God-like. I'm not really sure where that all comes from. I don't know if you think about Jesus too much in a present-day situation as far as socialism and capitalism. Would Jesus Christ be a socialist or a capitalist?
I think Alan Combs just wrote a book about that, and he spent a good part of his book saying that Jesus would be a communist, which I think is laughable. But
well, only because he's socially concerned. He doesn't want to be a Marxist dictator, obviously. Would he be a Republican or a Democrat?
Pardon me?
Considering that Democrats are considered with social concerns and Republicans are considered with economic concerns, would Jesus be a Republican or a Democrat?
He would be an independent. He wouldn't want to side with either one because his kingdom would not be of this world. He would be far and above Republicans. In fact, many times I didn't even vote Republican myself. I'm much more conservative.
Okay, one other thing as far as this whole discrimination against Christians, which I find to be unfounded. If you could name one U.S. president or one person within the current president's administration who is not a Christian, I would like to hear it.
All right, Rob, thanks for the call.
All righty.
That's what I am saying. Every president of the United States put his hand on the Bible and made an oath to God. Every president that we've ever had has proclaimed to believe in God, and many of them have said they were Christians. And the last caller said he was concerned that I'm your free thinking caller, yeah, that I'm trying to impose. I am trying to get back to an equal playing field now, not impose anything. When little kids in grade school get rebuked for drawing a picture of an angel, or they can't take a candy cane because it's like a shepherd's staff and represents Jesus and gets suspended for that, I say something's wrong in America right now. We don't have an equal playing field anymore. And secularism, and your last caller was concerned that I said liberals. There are some liberal Christians. I'll say secularism, a kind of godlessness, is beginning to stick its head and move forward with great strides here in America.
303-382-1150. Keith is in Denver.
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Keith.
Okay. One of the things is that I'm African-American male, and I'm 23 years old.
Okay.
I go to church every day. I read my Bible every day.
Every day you go to church?
Every day, every Sunday.
Okay.
Sorry, rephrase that.
All right.
And I read my Bible every day. And one of the things, me just starting to grow up, considering I'm so young, and starting to learn about the Christian religion, and what sort of frustrates me is that how the Christian religion, I see a lot of preachers and other individuals on TV, they try to put their moral beliefs on other individuals, which I don't really too much agree with that. And
well, I think, not that I can speak for the preachers, but they would say that they're putting their Christian beliefs out there, not their personal moral beliefs, or they would probably argue that their moral beliefs are the same as the Christian beliefs.
I don't really agree with that. I just see a lot of television.
I'm just trying to defend them.
All right, right. I just see the biggest one is President Bush.
Ah.
I don't really agree with
that. There's a moral Christian man, don't you think, Keith?
No, you know what?
Right.
There's a reference, and I believe it's in 1 James, about false prophets.
Oh.
And about I forgot the text, but it goes on to say about there are some false individuals who are misrepresenting what Christ. They're using their vision and not God's vision.
Be careful.
That's why I think President Bush is a big... Excuse me?
I said, be careful. Be careful. The scripture also warns you to be very careful before accusing somebody of being a false prophet.
Well, basically, I'm reading exactly how President Bush conducts himself, and it says, be careful about President Bush using his vision instead of God's vision. He's seeing his vision and not God's vision. That's exactly what I think that he's doing, and also a lot of other preachers are doing. They're basically, I feel sorry for some individuals who don't have common sense in the church, who don't actually go and read the word from themselves.
Can I ask the caller a question?
Please do.
Yes.
By you calling in and presenting this, aren't you trying, in essence, to persuade, or aren't you trying to impose your belief system upon the other listeners?
No, I'm not. I'm just speaking from my personal reference on exactly what I see. I'm not opposing any religion on anyone. I believe what I believe is because I believe, and I've done my research. Okay,
well, but in a sense, you're trying. I think you're being disingenuous. You're trying to persuade.
No, I don't see that at all, Reverend.
You
I see him as stating his own case and not necessarily trying to persuade anybody to believe.
Well, why would he call a talk show to thousands of listeners to share his case?
That is why. That is why he is calling, to share his opinion, not necessarily to persuade anyone.
Well, I think when you share an opinion, you are trying to persuade or get your point across.
No, I'm not.
Got to disagree, Rev.
You do?
I'm just saying my personal views and how I view stuff through my eyes.
So do you think? So you're saying though that you think President Bush is a false prophet?
I really do think so. I really do feel that in my heart. And it says, if you go ahead and read the text, it's 1 James.
There is no such thing as 1 James. You mean
1 James? Well, look at James. You know the scripture I'm talking about.
You mean 1 John? But you just said you know the Bible, and you said 1 James. There is no 1 James.
Mm. Keith?
Hello?
I think Keith might have dropped off.
He may have
had his scripture wrong. But
the last part of the Bible, in 1st and 2nd John, it does talk about false prophets. But it is the Bible really cautions you of accusing somebody of being a false prophet. That is, that's getting... And by the way, there's many things that President Bush has done that I absolutely cannot stand.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, 303-382-1150. We're talking with the Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. More of your calls when we come back here at AM 1150 KNRC. Right now, let's go to the KNRC newsroom where Tim McLaughlin is sitting by.
Thanks, Jerome.
Howdy.
Great. Sunny, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. Judge Terry Ruckriegel says that he'll hold a closed-door hearing Friday to determine if the medical and sexual history of the accuser in Kobe Bryant's rape case should be presented in court. The judge decided on the closed hearing while citing a state case that said victims cooperating in the prosecution of sexual offenders must be protected from psychological or emotional abuse in court. If you live near Buckley Air Force Base, don't be alarmed if you hear sirens or explosions or see some smoke. They're conducting some training exercises at the base during the daytime and early evening hours for the next week. When the investigation of the murder of a woman at a Littleton gift shop is complete, the gift shop will be closed permanently. 46-year-old Rhonda Holland was found murdered in the gift shop over the weekend. Police think robbery may have been the motive. They've arrested someone they call a person of interest, but they're not calling him a suspect at this point. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche continue their Florida road trip tonight as they play the Panthers. It's the first time this season the Avs have played the Panthers. It's the Denver Nuggets versus the Phoenix Suns tonight at the Pepsi Center. Nuggets have beaten the Suns in their first two games this season. Are you having trouble staying on track with your New Year's resolution to lose weight? Get additional help by picking up a bottle of new Metabolife Ultra. It's from the leader in weight loss, Metabolife. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
PlayingPolitics2004.com has fired a missile across the bow of American politics and has created the perfect antidote for the person who has grown weary of listening to empty drivel from the likes of Ann Coulter and Al Franken. These two 54-card decks have been rejected by the New York Times, because they picked on them, but described as awesome by U.S. News and World Report. These cards at last represent a view from the center, which means they don't like the stance that either the far left or the far right takes. Better than any board game and perfect for the student, professional, or homemaker. PlayingPolitics2004.com is sure to bring clarity and laughter to your political decision-making process this year. These decks are moving faster than Bill Clinton's hands and George Bush's policy statements. Playing Politics 2004 can be purchased through select Borders bookstores or through www.PlayingPolitics2004.com.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to check the roads with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Northbound I-25, the exit ramp to Broadway and Lincoln is closed. It's because of an injury accident involving a trailer. A lot of emergency equipment on the scene there. And because of all the T-Rex things, there really aren't that many good alternate routes to avoid get around that mess there. So best thing to do is just sit on the highway and be patient. Again, that's northbound I-25 as you make the transition onto Broadway. Ramp is closed because of an accident. Everything else in the freeway system looking pretty good this afternoon. Eastbound, or let's make that 17th in Quebec, don't know which direction. Minor accident there in the cleanup stages. And Colorado State Patrol officials are looking for an injury accident at U.S. Highway 85 and Airport Road near Sedalia. Did you know that Albertson's Pharmacy now gladly accepts workers' compensation prescriptions? It's just one more way the folks at Albertson's work with your needs in mind. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our temperatures are going to be on a nice even keel over the next couple of days with seasonal highs, and well, we'll have lots of pretty sunshine. We'll top out around 45 for the high today with fair skies tonight, a low of 18, back in the mid-40s with sunshine tomorrow, and turning a little breezy on Friday with a high 53 to 57. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Work for someone you love. You. Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety. anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The Dynamic Training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages had their second straight mixed finish. The Dow Industrials rose 95 points to 10,624. The NASDAQ fell 6 points to 2142. The S&P 500 added 9 points to 1148. Big board volume was about 1.75 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a roughly 5-3 margin. Kodak fueled the Dow's rise. It was the index's top percentage performer, climbing just over 4%. Analysts say Kodak may unveil a new restructuring plan tomorrow. Lucent Technologies easily the day's busiest stock, and it fell about 7%. Lucent posted its second straight quarterly profit and topped estimates. Lucent's CEO also says there's evidence the market is stabilizing, but the company remains cautious. And just out, eBay, Starbucks, and Netflix all top quarterly profit estimates. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
Jerome Davis sitting in for Enid Goldstein on this Wednesday afternoon. We're talking with the Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. 303-382-1150. That's the number that Bill called on his cell phone.
Hi, Jerome. Hi, Reverend.
Hi.
I'm like most of the callers who are either love you or hate you. I'm kind of in the middle on this. I think a lot of your aims are really noble, especially the pointing up the bias in Hollywood and the kind of the overdoing of separating out religion in public schools. But there are two things that you're doing that kind of lose me. One is the kind of taking on the liberal cloak of wrapping yourself in victimhood. And the other one is overstatement about how there are forces trying to remove Christianity from public life. I heard on a Focus on the Family broadcast not too long ago, or during the holiday season, somebody talking about removing Christianity from public life by the attempts to get manger scenes off public property. I don't want to pay for that myself, but if every Christian church put a huge manger scene out in the front lawn where public could see it everywhere they went, not only would I enjoy them, I'd probably drive around and see them. I think it's overstating a little bit.
Okay, Bill, let's let the Reverend respond.
Well, if you're not familiar with the ins and outs and what is going on in our nation, I guess you would see it as overstatement. All I can say is all the emails and phone calls I have received in order to funnel them to lawyers, it is not overstatement what has happened. And about victim mentality, I don't want a victim mentality. As a Christian, this stuff will happen. Eventually, Christians will face persecution according to biblical prophecy. As a Christian, I believe I'm a victor. But you see things happening to Christians who are victims. And just like the NAACP, I want to stand in the gap for Christians who are unfairly being prejudiced and discriminated against. Just like in the Boulder area last year, this 11-year-old Elizabeth Johnson was doing a book report that her teacher requested from the book of Exodus, and they said she could not do any report on the Bible because of separation of church and state. So she was given to the Alliance Defense Fund, who represented her, and they changed their policy. I mean, is freedom of speech, except when it comes to religion, or does freedom of speech include not only Christianity, but all religions in the public place? I think there should be freedom of speech regarding religion as well in school.
303-382-1150. We're talking with Reverend Pettigo, Reverend Thomas Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. We've got Glenn, we've got Mary waiting to talk to you, and we've got Prakash also waiting to talk to you, Reverend. Prakash?
Reverend, how are you?
Pretty good.
The thing is that I come from a different country. I have a different perspective on the whole issue here. The thing is that my biggest concern here is that I know that there is too much of political correctness when it goes, when it comes to Christianity and Christmas in particular. And I myself wish everyone Merry Christmas. So, so on that point, I'm very clear because I come from India. I served in the army and I had Christian troops. So I know about Christianity and how Christians feel. But the problem that I have with your argument regarding public schools is that public schools, they are failing in the basic duty to educate my son in basic math and science and those things. Why complicate the whole issues by adding religion and your sexuality, the whole mix? I think we're losing sight here when we are trying to mix all, get all these fights out in public and using public school as a fighting, as a boxing ring for various groups. I think they should concentrate on educating kids. That's it.
But the problem is with education is it seems like when it comes to history, let's talk about American history.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 30 or 40 years, there's been revisionism taking place to the point where school books now will not talk about Thanksgiving because, alas, the Pilgrims and the Puritans we're strong Christians, and we can't talk about Christianity because of separation of church and state. It seems like textbooks today, and this was done by a man from, I think he's from New York, Paul Vitz, who the censorship in school books nowadays is just horrendous and tremendous. It's, they have eliminated much of Christianity and our heritage as a nation. So you say, well, let's stick to science and mathematics, but also classes that are taught is American history, and that has been radically revised and warped.
Revised and warped. You mean we're no longer teaching the truth about American history?
I don't think so. When it comes to Thanksgiving, one textbook said that the Pilgrims said a prayer to the turkey. Yeah, right. I mean, come on. They're trying to take your focus off of God, that we're one nation under God, we believe in a creator God, and try to make everything politically correct. Even with the founders, they've eliminated everything Christian. Just read Paul Vitz's book. You'll see what's going on.
303-382-1150.
By the way, Jerome,
yes.
you have been a very fair host. I really appreciate you. I like your very white-like voice. You're not as intimidating as I thought you would be, and I just want to say thank you.
You was believing all that propaganda, wasn't you, Rev?
No, yeah, I just want to say thank you for the fairness in which you've conducted the show today.
That's okay. At KNRC, they conduct fairness classes before they'll let any talk show
hosts. You have to have those censorship classes kind of thing.
Anyway, we got time for one more before the break. Mary has been waiting a long time. You still there, Mary?
Hello?
Howdy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, loud and clear.
Oh, I'm hearing you very faintly.
How about now?
When he talks about revisionist history,
the
whole problem with this Christianity is that these Protestants are branches from the Roman Catholic Church. And I've been studying Bible history and the history of all the churches, and I'm old and tired, and I can't read very well. But to get into these books and learn the truth, there's a book by Edwin Gaustad, G-A-U-S-T-A-D, the religious history of early America.
Okay.
There, it's documented, it's all documented, and he brings out things about founding our country here that all these religious historians seem to have passed by.
Can you give us one instance of that, Mary?
About the Ten Commandments in Alabama, I used to call these stations when they were first beginning to have trouble over it, and they were raising money for that justice there.
Judge Roy Moore.
I asked them to open their Bibles, Exodus 20, and read, let's read through there and see if you think everybody should live by those commandments or if the fourth commandment was for the Jews.
Quick
and
response.
I understand what Marie meant. Hi,
yeah.
Marie. She and I are kind of battle-scarred old talk show callers. But no, the Catholic Church has changed it, and they admit that they do.
Uh-huh.
It's in writing. They admit that they have the power to transfer the sanctity of the seventh-day Sabbath to the first day of the week.
Okay, we're running up against this time factor, so Mary, we're going to give the Reverend a chance to respond to that.
Well, I disagree with her. I do not. Catholicism didn't come into existence until about the 3rd century,
mm-hmm.
and look at when the first pope was instituted. Christians were Christians until it became state-sponsored and organized, and yes, Protestantism, we're called Protestantism because we're protesting the Catholic doctrine, but can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Martin Luther King Jr., appreciate that man and what he stood for,
mm-hmm.
but many people secularized Dr. King. He was a Baptist preacher. He was a man of spiritual principles, biblical principles, Christian ethics.
Mm-hmm.
He was an ordained reverend.
Mm-hmm.
His daddy was a Baptist preacher, Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, I heard on that day everybody cloud the issue by saying he was just a good civil rights leader.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that guy was a preacher. He talked about Jesus. He talked about love and biblical principles. And to have that part of Dr. King taken away, his spiritual biblical foundation, I think, is an injustice.
I don't think you can separate Dr. King from the church. You know, I don't think anybody would even try to separate Dr. King.
But they are trying in the media, Jerome.
As a matter of fact, I see kind of the opposite happen. What I see is not the secularization of Dr. King. Actually, I see the near deification of Dr. King,
well,
especially by some
happen.
Black people.
We don't want that to happen either, no.
Well, 303-382-1150. When we come back, we will have time for Joe. So don't go anywhere, Joe. Stay right where you are. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150, KNRC.
Come on, Lenny, let's hit the slopes.
I don't wanna. Last time we did this, I broke a lot of bones.
You know, Mike Newland once said, genius is perseverance in disguise.
I was in traction for 3 weeks.
Do you think your business bankers at First National Bank of Colorado balk in the face of a new challenge?
You told me to ski off a cliff. I landed in Utah.
Lenny, the reason you love banking with them is because you admire their tenacity.
At First National Bank of Colorado, we have a strong history of tackling problems on the local level while providing the national reach needed to solve Denver's unique business challenges. For everything from cash management to commercial loans, trust the business bankers at FNBC to use honesty, integrity, and good old-fashioned hard work to get it done.
You're right. I'm going to attack this slope the way they attack problems.
Lenny?
What?
Watch out for that tree.
That's going to bruise.
For all your commercial banking needs, turn to the experts at First National Bank of Colorado. To set an appointment, call 303-308-3860.
All right, then. The first thing we'll do is divide everyone into two groups. Those of you who travel less than once a month, please turn your volume dial counterclockwise. And might I advise you to get out more? You deserve it. The rest of you, esteemed airline pilots, flight attendants, millionaires, professional athletes, congrats, you've made the cut. And should concurrently visit locatingme.com, where you'll find a service designed to aid you and your family in an emergency. When you're away, you want your family to feel confident that they could contact you at any time. And further, that they have access to pertinent medical information from any computer in the world. LocatingMe.com does this and more. And because you're a special and unique individual, if you're not completely satisfied, return your ID cards within 30 days and your entire subscription price will be refunded. No obligation. This concludes our discussion. And homebodies, you may readjust the volume as you see fit.
Visit LocatingMe.com, where you'll never be out of touch.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Looking for love in all the wrong places? Try the Max Fund Animal Adoption Center, located at 1025 Galapagos Street. The Max Fund is the only no-kill shelter in the Denver area for injured animals with no known owners. They have numerous loving cats and dogs available for adoption, and also offer low-cost fays and neuters. To find a friend or volunteer your time, call 303-595-4917 or go to www.maxfund.org.
The savings will really add up at Albertson's Buy One, Get Two Free sale this week. With the in-store coupon, you can save up to $103.58 in free groceries. Albertson's, helping make your life easier.
Hi, this is Dominic Barasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Listen to Dominic and Bill live this week from 6 to 9 p.m.
And you could win tickets to the hot new show at the Denver Civic Theater, Cookin' at the Cookery.
It's the story of blues legend Alberta Hunter and her comeback show in Greenwich Village at the age of 82.
It's a rousing, raunchy, sexy celebration of a great American songstress and the life she led.
And you can see Cookin' at the Cookery for free just by listening to Dominic and Bill live all this week on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Not Enid Goldstein. Jerome Davis sitting in for Enid Goldstein. Doug Kelly will be sitting here in about 15 minutes or so. We've been talking all afternoon to the Reverend Thomas Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination, to show you how it's been going. I had about 15 questions that I wanted to ask the Reverend. Haven't been able to get to but two of them. That's how it's been going this afternoon. We've saved the best for last. That's why Joe has been waiting on his cell phone.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Not bad.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of ask the Reverend to just kind of sum up what, he, I guess, his vision or utopian vision of freedom from discrimination would be, and how would he guarantee in that scenario not to be discriminatory or discriminating against other religions and other beliefs.
Okay, we'll let him address that, Joe, and okay. We've got about a minute left, Reverend.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go to my website, NAACD.com. That's all it is, NAACD.com. You can see my purpose, method, and mission. Again, it's to promote our Christian faith and our religious heritage. I'm concerned about all the places we have lost our freedoms as Christians. I don't want to force my morality down anybody. I don't want to coerce, but I do want to persuade. I guess my final comment is to get to know the man Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible. Read about him. He is the life changer.
Thank you very much. Reverend Tom Pettigo, the Executive Director of the National Alliance Against Christian Discrimination. If you want to find out more about the Reverend and his organization, go to the website, NAACD.com. Thank you very much for joining us today, Reverend.
Thanks, Jerome.
All right. Doug Kellett is going to come in here in about 15 minutes and do his thing. And don't forget, 6 o'clock tonight, it's the Golden Boys, Dominic Brasha and Bill Thorpe. I want to thank Jordan Lyles and Joe Anderson for helping me out this afternoon, and thank you for being there.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 43 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Nestle Toll House. Dangerous levels of carbon monoxide inside a home in the Montbello area sent two children to the hospital this morning. Someone in the home had accidentally left a car running in the garage after moving it inside during last night's inclement weather. According to Denver Fire Department's Phil Champagne, there were four people in the home.
There are two adults and two children. The children obviously were overcome. The adults were also ill, but not to the extent of the children.
Denver firefighters first responded to the home just after 2:30 this morning after receiving a report of an unconscious sick child. That child was transported to Denver Health Medical Center. Firefighters were called back to the home less than an hour later after the other child passed out. Upon their second arrival at the home, firefighters found the family outside the home with the garage door open. A firefighter noticed a strange smell in the house, so tests were conducted and high levels of carbon monoxide were detected. Champagne says that had the vehicle not run out of fuel, the situation could have been tragic. No word on the condition of the hospitalized children. A 17-year-old who last week was sentenced to 12 years probation has now had an additional condition added to her sentence. Jefferson County